Entertaining and informative.
This is Sid and Friends in the Morning.
77 WABC.
A jury of 12 New Yorkers has now been seated for the first criminal prosecution of a former president of the United States. Seven men and five women have been selected for the trial of Donald Trump, who's charged with falsifying business records to hide an alleged affair and influence the 2016 presidential election. One alternate has already been selected, and the court needs five more to begin the case. Now, earlier in the day, the case appeared to be heading in the wrong direction. That's because two jurors who were already seated were then removed. Prosecutors are also asking the judge to hold Trump in contempt after they said he repeatedly violated the court's gag order. CBS's Robert Costa was inside the courthouse in Lower Manhattan.
Jury selection stumbled backward and forward today before the 12 jurors who will decide Donald Trump's fate were finally seated. Seven men and five women, including one who during questioning referred to Trump as selfish and self-serving, but also promised she could be impartial. After a full day in court, former President Trump vented his frustrations.
I'm sitting here for days now, from morning till night, in that freezing room, freezing. Everybody was freezing in there.
The morning began with seven jurors in place, but complications flared, underscoring the high-wire act of seating a jury in such a high-profile trial. First, New York Judge Juan Merchan excused juror number two, a nurse, who said she no longer believed she could be impartial. Aspects of my identity have already been out there in public, she said. Yesterday alone, I had friends, colleagues, and family push things to my phone. Then he dismissed juror number four, who had called Trump fascinating and mysterious. After it emerged, someone with the same name was once arrested for allegedly ripping down conservative political posters, according to prosecutors. Trial consultants say the vetting of these potential jurors is critical. Trump was mostly quiet in court, occasionally staring into the jury box. But he's continued to rage about the case on social media, alarming prosecutors who claimed he has violated the judge's gag order seven times. It's ridiculous. It has to stop. The former president sharply criticized the judge and District Attorney Alvin Bragg.
You got a DA that's out of control. You have a judge that's highly conflicted.
Among the new jurors, an engineer, a physical therapist, and a banker who said they follow one of the key witnesses in this case on social media, Michael Cohen. They also follow Trump. And the judge said opening arguments could now begin on Monday.
Israel strikes back at Iran. Sources telling ABC News that Israeli missiles hit a site inside Iran. Air defenses lighting up inside Iran. An Iranian news agency reporting the sound of explosions heard in the province of Isfahan, home to an Iranian nuclear lab and also a major military base. The strike by Israel is in retaliation to last weekend's attack by Iran, which unleashed hundreds of missiles and drones targeting sites in Israel. Despite the unprecedented number of missiles and drones launched by the Iranians, only a few hit their targets in Israel. The drones and missiles that didn't fail en route were shot down by Israeli air defenses and by U.S., British, and Jordanian military jets. Many flights in the region have now been diverted. Flight radar showing very few planes currently flying in or around Iranian airspace. In Iran, and state TV is reporting that all is well. This reporter going live in the region believed to be targeted by Israel, showing that traffic is moving along just like any other day. Iran says a military base near the city of Isfahan in central Iran was hit. No word on casualties. Now, in spite of its threat to unleash a devastating counterattack against Israel if they were attacked, so far Iran has not done so. World leaders concerned that the explosive tit-for-tat could spiral out of control and engulf the entire Middle East.
Let's get back to those protests at Columbia University.
Fights broke out, and police took more than 100 people into custody.
We reported that the school administration warned student protesters that they had to evacuate the campus lawn or be suspended and thus banned from campus property. Well, the administration followed through on its threat with the backing of the NYPD.
mass arrests at Columbia University Thursday afternoon after the school's president asked the NYPD to dismantle an unsanctioned tent city on campus, which students had erected over 24 hours earlier to protest the war in Gaza. In a letter to the NYPD obtained by CBS2, Columbia President Manoush Shafiq said the encampment raised safety concerns and posed a danger to the function of the university.
The Yorkers have every right to express their sorrow, but that heartbreak does not give you the right to harass others, to spread hate.
Demonstrations in support of the Palestinian people continued throughout the day and into the night at Columbia's main entrance, at moments leading to violent confrontations with counter-protesters and subsequently more arrests. This comes one day after Columbia's president was grilled on Capitol Hill about her response to rising anti-Semitism on campus. In her testimony, President Shafiq said reconciling students' right to free speech with the rights of Jewish students to learn in an environment free from discrimination has been a central challenge on campus since October 7th.
When a huge majority of Jewish students are saying we feel uncomfortable, we experience anti-Semitism, those concerns should be taken seriously.
Most of the 108 students arrested were given summonses for trespassing, and the NYPD says that it will continue to work with Columbia's administration through the end of the semester.
The daughter of a Minnesota congresswoman says protesting got her suspended from college. New York police arrested more than 100 demonstrators at Columbia University. Representative Ilhan Omar's daughter, Isra Hersey, getting handcuffed. She attends neighboring Barnard College and says the school suspended her for taking part in the pro-Palestinian protest.
Hey Sid, it's Zimra. Happy birthday. Have the most amazing, incredible, uplifting, and holy, inspirational year with goodness and guidance and clarity, and it's just a wholesome year ahead. And keep doing what you're doing. Change the world one word at a time with your radio station. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Sydney. I love you so much.
Good morning, yesterday. You wake up and time has slipped away. And suddenly it's hard to find the memories you left behind. Remember, do you remember the laughter and the tears, the shadows of misty yesteryears, the good times and the bad you've seen, and all the others in between? Remember, do you remember the times of your life?
The bet from yesterday. If you were listening late in yesterday's show, I bet my partners on this show, these three great men, Lou Ruffino, Justin Ellick, and Noam Layden, that I wouldn't cry. But I lost. Played my dad. And my dad sang that happy birthday to me from his hospital bed 3 months before he died. I play it every year, I know. And it still breaks my heart. So I lost a bet. I've lost a lot of bets in my day, folks. As my friend once said to me, you don't get a front seat at GA for winning games. This bet, I don't mind losing all that much, because I do miss my dad. But my mother, Naomi, here's the good news. Well, my dad is gone, and now we've got that message, thank God, to hear his voice. My mom is still going strong, and today is not only my birthday, 57 today, but it's my mom Naomi's birthday. Somewhere in upstate New York, my mom turns 89, and she's going to join us on this program later on, and it's going to be a disaster. Disaster.
Why is that?
Well, because I'm going to play my father singing, and she's going to cry. And
No, that's going to be, oh my God, I didn't realize that.
Complete nightmare, yeah. It's a disaster.
I was going to tell you, I lost it actually before you, because I listened to your dad's message again just to remember to make sure I did that right to see. And I like, because if I heard my dad do that, I'd start crying too.
Yeah, I don't know how you do it.
Right? I actually considered not playing it anymore, but I just can't because, first of all, it's not fair to my dad, and second of all, as much as it hurts, and it hurts, it helps. It's both. It's hard to articulate. For somebody who's lost a parent or even a sibling, you may understand, and I was very, very close with my dad. So it helps. But I will say this. This July, he'll be gone 5 years, 6 years. I don't even remember. I don't remember. I think 5 years. It does not get easier. If they tell you it gets easier, they're lying. The only thing that does change is, you know, when he first died, the first year, I think I cried every day. I don't cry every day now, okay? I'm not John Boehner. But when I think about him, on a day like today, for example, or when you look at some of the real successes I've had over the last year, and he's not here, then it becomes tough. Although people keep telling me, you know, he's watching, why do you think you've had all this success? And I hope they're right, you know. I don't know, but I hope they're right. Either way, it is, it's a special day. 57, not a big deal. Lou just celebrated his 60th birthday a couple of weeks ago. That's a big deal. But for folks that know me from my younger days, partying at Captain Walters in Brooklyn, New York, and going out to the underground in the city all weekend long, a lot of folks said, you ain't going to make 30. That's how wild I was. And Lou, you saw a lot of that. It was bad. It was, you know, we joke around now and we laugh about it. It was bad. It was bad. So every birthday now is great. And now I've got two beautiful children, my daughter Ava, my son Gabriel, and they get into it. So, you know, I know that most adults don't do this. I guess little kids do this, and mostly teenage girls. But, hey, Jim Kerr wished me happy birthday today. How big is that?
It's pretty darn big.
Damn right. Yeah. Jim Kerr posted at like 5:30 this morning. Happy birthday, Sid.
Have his voice saying happy birthday to
That's
you.
A big deal.
Sid, I'd like to just express my happy birthday. Rolling Stones can wait right now. I'm going to say happy birthday, and I miss you.
How about my friend Anthony D'Esposito, who is a congressman out of Long Island? This guy's the real deal. He's a big-time congressman. It's not a joke. He sent me this already this morning. Circa 5:30. Happy birthday, my brother. Proud to know you and be in the trenches with you. Grandpa always told me to surround myself with people who you want to fight in a foxhole with. I take any foxhole with you. Anthony D'Esposito. That's sweet. My friend George Liberatos, who owns Oasis Diner, which I talk about all the time, Brooklyn on Flatbush Avenue, he's at Lenox Hill Hospital right now. Because his wife is expecting a son who will be born today. So George said, happy birthday. Now my son is going to share your birthday. What a disaster.
Don't follow the legacy. Well, follow some of it, not all of it.
Yeah. So I'm going to try. This is going to be very difficult. I'm going to try and shout out a bunch of people that contacted me. And I want to say this right away. I read, and I've told you this before, whether you're on Instagram, at Rosenberg.Sydney, once again, that account is now private. Coming back from Israel, I did get death threats, a lot of them. So I had to make that account private, not public anymore. So you have to send me a friend request, and usually I accept it. At Rosenberg.Sydney for Instagram, Sid Rosenberg for Facebook. I woke up this morning to tons of happy birthday messages, tons. And I want you to know I read every one of them. So if I don't write back, right away. Lately, what I've been doing is just liking stuff so you know I saw it, unless it's somebody very, very, very close to me. But I read them all, and I appreciate every one of them, every one of them. Lisa Ganji, John Cirillo, text already this morning from Danny Bianculo, who's been a friend of mine for many years. He's a great guy, great guy. From George V., right upstairs, Mr. Red Apple Media, Mr. Red Apple Everything, the former FBI guy. What a super guy George V. is. Thank you, Joe DiGiacomo, my former electrician. Rocco, who's out there at Joe and Joe in Pearl River. Simon Glansberg down in Florida. My friend Lori, the great real estate girl out of New Jersey. Susan Brown Otto up in Bethel. Joseph Abood, the greatest men's designer ever. Leslie Slender, Todd Shapiro, Tom Sullivan, all of you. So I can't do this all day, obviously. I've got real guests and real stories to cover. But I read everyone. Mike Butler, Jamie Serna, Jewel Golia, Mike Sullivan, all of you. So thank you so much. And my mom will come on, and throughout the day, people will call in and celebrate with us. Not that 57's a big deal. But when I look back at my 56th year, it may have been my best year. And what I mean by that is career and family. You know, my daughter is about to finish up her second year of school in Europe, a law student. She's doing tremendous. My son, Gaby, will finish up his first year of high school. Danielle's doing great. But you look at my career this year at the age of 56, and it really comes back to three things, three major highlights my 56th year that have propelled this show to brand new stratospheres, brand new galaxies, starting, of course, with the decision after October 7th to take this show to Israel. I believe that right there was a turning point. This was always a great show, and we always enjoyed a modicum of success. Me and Bernard as well. God rest your soul, Bernie. I know you'd be kissing me this morning. Happy birthday. And we had a modicum of success, but nothing like what's happened this past year. And I really believe the Israel trip was the beginning of all of it. Then after that, of course, it didn't hurt to get thrown out of the State of the Union, and the whole says who thing has become a big, big deal. And the Trump relationship, seeing him down in Mar-a-Lago, hanging out with him at Casa Cipriani in Lower Manhattan a couple of months ago. So I think Israel, the State of the Union, and Trump have moved this show to a brand new level. And talking about Casa Cipriani, I was there last night. I want to thank Keith Kantrowitz, Anthony Carone, those guys. We do this monthly dinner. You guys know about that. And last night, they celebrated my birthday. Governor David Patterson was there. I love the governor. Transit Chief Mike Kemper, my dear friend Mark Oranger. You had Arthur Idala and his friend Gabriel, who's a sweet, sweet guy. Menashe Shapiro, of course, works for the mayor. Ina Vernikov, Eleonora Shira. It's just a great time. And I really enjoyed it. So thank you for that last night. Now tonight, me, Danielle, Ava, and Gabe heading to the very swanky Rockaway Hotel. You know that place very well, Lewis.
Very nice place. Wow.
Very nice.
Yeah.
And we're going because my friend John, who owns Claudette's, which is a great restaurant all over the Rockaways. He's now moved to Howard Beach. He's having a big Shabbat dinner. A group there, they're called, I should know this, and now I forgot. Jeez, it's a big Jewish group. People like Melissa Chapman. She's got a very big voice in the Jewish community, one of our influencers. She's going to be there. It may be End Jew Hatred. And so there'll be a big Shabbat dinner tonight, but now they've made it into a Shabbat / Sid Rosenberg birthday dinner. Kind of cool, Noam, right?
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, because I wanted to get the Shabbat thing in at the same time celebrate my birthday. So that'll be tonight. Then Danielle and I will do something together over the weekend. And there you have it. But I did get a very early birthday present last night. No, it's not that, you degenerate. God.
Yeah, Noam just looked at me.
I know exactly what you're thinking. I know exactly what you're thinking, you dirty bastards. It ain't that.
What's dirty about it?
There's nothing dirty about it. No.
Oh, wait, it was for you. I forgot. Sorry.
I'm a dirty guy. I'm very dirty. I really am. Last night, I want to thank the country of Israel for providing me with an early present for bombing Iran. Now, look, It was not a big deal. It was not. They did not bomb, thank God, by the way, any civilians. The Iranian people, good people, and they want nothing more than to be here. You know, they hate that regime. They hate living that way. They do. So I don't want to see Iranian people die. That was good. I wouldn't have mind blowing up some of their nuclear plants. They didn't do that. They just went out and bombed a military base. I don't even know if anybody died. I'm not even sure. But it was an attack nevertheless. So while it was very, very small in scale, very small, I guess Bibi Netanyahu saved some face, right? Because Iran sent in 300 missiles, even though we knew about it. We helped orchestrate it, and nobody got hurt. So now Bibi saved some face. But there is a negative side to this. Nobody died. It was a very, very small-scale missile attack or drone attack. But they did retaliate. And Iran did promise if they do anything, they didn't say grand scale, doesn't have to be 9/11. If they do anything, that was the word they used, we're coming back again. So now you start to wonder this tit for tat, and that's the only time I can say that word without getting it dumped, which is very exciting. Tit for tat.
what a child.
I really am like a child. I'm 57. I could be five. Who knows what's going to happen next? And that's the danger here is that a little attack there, a little attack here, and the next thing you know, Noam, we're talking nukes.
Well, you know, we're already seeing it this morning. You know, one of their proxies, Iran's proxies, is Hezbollah, which is in the north of Lebanon. They've been firing rockets into Israel today. So imagine that's a direct
response.
Well,
they've been firing every day, though. Are there more rockets today? Have you noticed it's intensified?
Don't know that, but one of the reports that's come out, and Alex Trayman no doubt will tell you more about this a little bit later this morning, is that the attack on Iran this morning came from with inside Iran, maybe suggesting that the Mossad had somehow stationed and brought in missiles there and fired off whatever took place. Yeah, if that's true, that's crazy.
I also heard that they could have used Iraqi and or Syrian airspace and not even enter Iran. Yeah. I don't know. We will talk to Alex Trayman, as you mentioned, coming up at 6:45 live in Jerusalem in about 20 minutes. And my man Trump is ready to go. I guess we'll start our opening arguments. On Monday, they picked the jury, 12 jurors, and one alternate. Was it 7 men and 5 women? Is that right?
That's right.
And Trump made me laugh yesterday. I feel so bad for this poor bastard. I love him. His daughter-in-law, Lara's going to be on today to wish me a happy birthday. But this guy was yelling and screaming that he's freezing in the courtroom. I swear to God. He goes, they got us in this room. He's like an old Jew. It's freezing in here. We're all freezing in here. You got to hear this. This
is never heard of a thermostat. This is really crazy. It's like cold. I'm shivering.
Forgetting about the fact that trying to take away all of his money, ruin his life. He's like, I'm freezing in here. Here's a Donald Trump number 3 outside the courthouse.
I'm sitting here for days now, from morning till night, in that freezing room. Freezing. Everybody was freezing.
Freezing. Freezing in here. Shut the fan off. That's Danielle.
We're going to get real heat in here. We're going to make it great. This is ridiculous. I don't understand.
Oh, boy. We got a great show, folks. Alex Trayman, live from Jerusalem at 6:45. My man, the great Curtis Sliwa, Wag the Dog 3. Starring Naomi and Sydney coming up at 7:15. Andrew Napolitano, the judge, live in studio. He'll be here at 7:45. My mom, happy birthday, mommy. I love you. Naomi Rosenberg at 8:15. Lara Trump, 8:45. Joseph Tacopina, 9:15. And one of the stars of The Real Housewives of New Jersey. He's opening up a very big store in Jersey tomorrow. Frank Catania. All that, plus the number is always 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. Thank you, folks, for all the birthday wishes. Keep it right here till 10 o'clock. Sid on his birthday.
I got no time for private consultation under the Milky Way tonight. Wish I knew what you were looking for.
With crime running rampant in New York, you need to keep yourself and your family safe. Obtaining your concealed carry firearm licenses can be difficult and time-consuming. That's where MyFirstPistol.com comes in. They'll help you secure your concealed carry license. If you're looking for a pistol, premise, rifle, or shotgun license, call 347-559-7052. 347-559-7052. You must have a valid firearm license issued by the NYPD to purchase, possess, or shoot a handgun or pistol in NYC.
Hi, it's Lou Dobbs for Priority Gold, America's precious metals dealer. These are volatile times with high inflation, soaring debt, wars on multiple continents, and rising financial stress. Central banks are buying gold to diversify their reserves, so are many Americans. Call Priority Gold and find out how precious metals can help you diversify your portfolio. They're highly rated and happy to help. Call 1-866-303-6357 or get a free gold guide at PriorityGoldGuide.com. That's PriorityGoldGuide.com.
Oi! This is Sid and Friends in the Morning.
How many of us have them? Friends.
77 WABC.
Put your hair back. You get to leave. 11 gallows on your sleeve. Shallow figure, winners paid. 11 shadows, way out of place. Standing too soon. Dress on, stay real close. Who might leave you where I left off? The perfect circle of acquaintances and friends. Drink another coin of praise.
So, what you need to know about this song, this is R.E.M., Perfect Circle, off of one of their very first albums, Murmur. And I love this song, Perfect Circle. It's been an ongoing point of contention between me and Lewis. Just so you folks know, most mornings I pick the very first song. That's mine. After that, Lewis does an amazing job the rest of the day. So, he does most of the musical selections. Quite frankly, he knows a lot more music than I do, but he hates that song.
Well, I don't hate it.
You hate it.
No, I don't hate it. Right. I continue to be mystified by your fascination with it.
I love it. Yeah, I know. It's weird. I don't know why, but I do love it. But because it's my birthday, clearly, I figured this thing out. So the first song I pick, okay, that's Paul Anka. The next one he plays is The Church Under the Milky Way, one of my favorite songs. The next one he picks is Perfect Circle by R.E.M., one of my favorites. I'm starting to figure this out, Lewis.
Oh, no doubt why you got to number one. It's really good. I mean, but if we were playing this for 4 hours, yeah. I think we'd have a problem. I just don't. Yeah. I remember playing their first record in college.
You do?
R.E.M. Yeah. This was on it.
It was Murmur.
Murmur was their first real big release. And nobody on the station touched that song.
Nobody, not even Jim Kerr.
No, it was like the first four songs are great. They're like, wow, what a great sound this band has. I get back to WABC to work with you and Bernie, and you were picking, hey, I want to play this R.E.M. song, Perfect Circle. And I remember it now. What?
I know.
I think it's the last track on the record, and it's morose, and it's
awesome.
It's okay. Yeah.
My friend Richie Shipman is the guy that introduced that song to me. Richie Shipman.
Awesome.
Yeah, I love him. Okay. So I sit down by the microphone this morning, and I notice there's a bunch of stuff. Yeah, my wife Danielle just reminded me that I actually, talking about the Israel attack on Iran, that I share a birthday today with, you know, this one you can't make up. The Ayatollah Khomeini. I swear to God. I swear to God. Israel attacks Iran, and I share a birthday today with the Ayatollah Khomeini. Wow. Thank you, Danielle. So I sit down at my microphone this morning, and here's what I see. I see, with two beautiful bows, a white and purple bow, it is a bunch of fudge. And MJ, Louis' significant other, is a great cook. I mean, a great cook. And she made me fudge. Then next to it, I see a box of Kleenex tissues because I've already cried. Show's only 37 minutes old. I've already cried. I'm sure my mom is going to cry at 8:15. So he's got tissues, which is adorable. And then a card here, and it reads like this. Did I fart in this card? Maybe, but you opened it and checked. That's worse. Very funny.
It's a card that you probably, funny, yeah. You probably wrote the card and you forgot you distributed it.
So then he's got almost everybody here at the radio station that signed the card. This is lovely. From Lewis to Ava, not my daughter, she works here, to Justin, to Noam, to Kevin Drosch, Chris Libertini, Sophia Perez, Macedonia Phil. And on the very back of the card, and this is very, very special, it goes like this. Sid, you know you're the best. Isn't that right? Wonderful. You know you're great. Everyone knows it. I love you. We're going to fix this country together. Happy birthday, Donald Trump. Something tells me that this isn't really Trump's signature, but Louis, you tell me it is, so.
She's just a slob.
It's a birthday card. I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, we'll never know. I don't know.
People signed it.
We sent it down to the courthouse. And
it's not like he's not in New York.
Yeah.
Funny.
Just hand it over. I've got to get to this bodega, but give me the card. That's great.
So then I get to work this morning, and Gene, my guy Gene, we get here about, I don't know, it's about 5 to 5, you know. And I'm always awake. I refuse to sleep on the way to work because the whole idea of me getting up at 3 o'clock in the morning is to make sure that I've got 2 hours of awake time because it affects your voice, your thinking. So I stay awake in the cab right here. And then for the hour leading up to the show, I work with Justin, Lou, and Noam on building the show. And we pull up and Gene goes, your friend is outside. And that's always really terrifying. I have no idea who my friend is. But at 5 to 5 in the morning, no one should ever be outside waiting for you.
You don't have a friend at that hour waiting outside. They really need help.
So this is a listener, and he is a friend. He's a very sweet guy. His name is Scotty A. That's all I'm going to say. He was here a couple of months ago with a couple of cardboard boxes, and he wrote a whole bunch of nice stuff on those. I think it's when I got back from Israel or Washington, D.C., I forget. And this morning, he had a whole thing of goodies, including these two signs he made, which wished me a happy birthday, talked about the show being number one. So Scotty A., very, very generous, very, very sweet. He scared the living daylights out of Lou, though.
He did,
I mean,
yeah.
Lou was going to knock this poor bastard out.
Well, I wonder why. He comes right at me, darts. I get out of the car, trying to bring this stuff in, and he goes, hey, oh my God, this is it. Finally, I'm going to die right before I walk into work. 30 years with Imus didn't do it. Now, we're going to do it for a couple years, and the guy's going to kill
me. You know, it's funny you mention Imus. Thank you, Marianne from Brooklyn, too. Howard Stern fans know Marianne. She just sent me a nice text. So, I know I'm late to the party. It's a very, very old movie, and J.K. Simmons, who played Schillinger in Oz, won the Academy Award for this. But yesterday afternoon, I saw for the first time ever the movie Whiplash. I'd never seen it before.
That's a great movie.
Unbelievable movie.
Oh, my God.
Simmons, who won the award, was great, but the kid who played Andrew, the drummer.
Teller. It's Miles Teller.
What is his name?
Miles Teller.
Okay, Miles Teller. I don't know. He was unbelievably good. But I got to tell you, if you've never worked with Imus, just watch that movie. Because his character, I swear to God, was like Imus. And Danielle kept saying, was it like that? I go,
Yeah, I was going to say worse, but he was pretty bad.
If it was like that, then that's pretty bad.
It was just like that.
Because he is
just like that. You got to.
Yeah.
He was a real prick. Real prick. You got to see this movie. I know it's old. It's old.
It's good. He's a physically and mentally and emotionally and verbally abusive.
Unbelievable. He was in good shape. You know, you say physically, he was wearing short sleeves all movie. Mm-hmm. He had some pretty good guns.
Yeah.
But he was. It was like Imus. Mm-hmm. Same thing.
Great. I don't really have to see it. I live it.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
So good.
You know, but by the end of the movie, the kid appreciated the guy. And why I'm telling you that is, I told you this before on my birthday here, the longer Imus is dead, the more I like him. When he was alive, I hated his guts. I'm not sure that's a good thing. You know, maybe some of you that hate me right now will like me when I'm dead. But the longer Imus is gone, the more I like him, and that's kind of how the movie, well, I don't want to give away the movie, but it's old, but that's kind of the movie ends, is the kid, even though this guy beat him up physically, verbally, you know, mentally, he shows the appreciation, the guy made him better.
Oh, sounds like a
I guess Imus did that for me.
Okay, sounds like a good Saturday night feel-good movie. That's real good. That's great.
I'll tell Frank to bring you some edibles. You'll love it.
Oh, good.
Traffic with Joe Nolan and then Alex Trayman live in Jerusalem coming next. Right now it is time for the 77 WABC minicast clip of the day. Get the whole story in under 10 New York minutes. Download and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts and get the max out of mini. We do our minicast every day from the great Katz and Cosby Show, 5 p.m. every weekday afternoon. Here, John and Rita talk with former Congressman, our good buddy, Peter King.
We have to let the enemy know now that we are prepared to fight back fiercely so they don't launch the attack. I mean, I have no doubt if something starts, they come after us, we're going to win. But I don't want thousands of Americans lost in the meantime. The important thing is, and this I think was the biggest danger of the way we pulled out of Afghanistan, you encourage the enemy, you encourage both the sadistic killers in those countries and the crazies who feel they can get away with attacking the United States. So we have to make it clear that any attack on us at all will be met with the most ferocious and fierce response that, you know, mankind can imagine.
By the way, talking about responses, even though Iran said no matter what Israel does, no matter how minor in scale they attack, we're coming back at them. According to Fox News right now, breaking news, Iran vows not to retaliate after the Israel strike. Iran vows not to retaliate. Again, it was such a small strike, but now it's 2-1 Israel.
Yeah, but they said if you do anything.
Right. And they say now they're not going to. You don't believe them?
No, I don't believe them.
Okay, fair enough. They're trustworthy people.
Yeah, sure they are.
Yeah.
Like Hamas.
This is Sid on Sports.
Oh, my goodness.
Sponsored by Peerless Boilers on 77 WABC.
Justin Ellick here with your bottom of the hour sports update sponsored by Pete Morgan and Peerless Boilers. Go to peerlessboilers.com, paviliontankless.com to find a dealer near you. They are the world's best built boilers. No local action to speak of yesterday in baseball, but the Mets and Yankees both opening up their respective weekend sets tonight out in the Bronx. The Yanks are getting ready to welcome in the division rival Tampa Bay Rays. That's a 7:05 p.m. first pitch. Clark Schmidt gets the ball in pinstripes against Tampa's Tyler Alexander. Out west, the Mets will get their first look at the Dodgers this season, primed for a 10:10 p.m. first pitch from L.A. Sean Manaea will take the hill against shiny L.A. and MLB newcomer Yoshinobu Yamamoto. On the NBA hardwood, we've got the two final play-in games to look forward to tonight. That'll decide who draws each conference's respective one seed. In the East, the Bulls and the Heat will tip off at 7 p.m. in Miami, the winner of which getting the opportunity to take on the East one seed in the Boston Celtics. Following that action at 9:30 p.m., the Kings and the Pelicans will meet each other in New Orleans to decide who gets to face the Western Conference one seed in the Oklahoma City Thunder. First round action set to get going tomorrow either way, with our two seed Knicks tipping off game one against the Philadelphia 76ers at 6 p.m. They'll be 2.5-point favorites at home in game one, and the odds for the series, as a whole against Philadelphia are even heading in. The Celtics are your favorite to win the title here, plus 135. Knicks are at plus 3,000. On the ice, all we have to look forward to is the opening of the first round of the Stanley Cup playoffs tomorrow in Carolina at 5 p.m. The Islanders will open up their series against the Hurricanes before Sunday afternoon. We'll see the Rangers get things going with game one against the Capitals. Puck drop there scheduled for 3 p.m. on Sunday at the Garden. The aforementioned Hurricanes are the odds-on favorite to hoist the cup this year at plus 650. The Rangers are fourth in line at plus 800 in the Isles. Much more of a long shot there at plus 5500. Sports sponsored by Pete Morgan and Peerless Boilers. Go to peerlessboilers.com, paviliontankless.com to find a dealer near you. They're the world's best-filled boilers. I'm Justin Ellick on 77 WABC.
Sid and Friends in the Morning.
77 WABC. And now, a man who got not one, but two shout-outs from Donald Trump on Saturday night at Cipriani Wall Street. He's Sid Rosenberg.
You know that, Sid, right? There is a slight difference. If you want, we can talk about it, but let's not bore the audience.
And this...
I could be indictment proof right now. I don't think they can do it, Sid. I don't think they can do it.
...is Sid and Friends in the Morning.
Coming up big for me already this morning, hour number one, The Church, REM, and right here, Psychedelic Birds. The messages just keep coming. Bo Dietl, man, I miss Bo Dietl. I love you, Bo. Corey Zelnick, my dear friend Corey, Bobby Hartman. We've got a big golf tournament coming up for Bobby and for his place, Mainstream House, out in Riverhead, Long Island, honoring me and Daryl Strawberry. The great Dougie Kilzer, Love Doug, MJ Marianne from Brooklyn, John DeSanto from Gourmet Grill, Stephanie Perales, one of my oldest and dearest friends in the radio business, listening right now as she does every day from Orlando, Florida, Haskell, Joe Parisi, Kevin Breslin, they just keep coming. Thank you so much. Okay, so I'm watching the movie yesterday, and it's about 5 o'clock in the afternoon. So for you folks that don't know, Israel is 7 hours ahead of us. So 5 o'clock in the afternoon here yesterday was midnight in Israel. It was the next day. I get a call from Alex Trayman, MrJNS.org, and his lovely wife, Sippy, wishing me a happy birthday because it had hit midnight, April the 19th, in Jerusalem. So he's really the first on my birthday to do it. And who knew that later on that night, late last night, Israel would attack Iran, but they did. So here he is with the latest, my dear friend Alex Trayman. Alex, good morning, buddy. How are you?
Good morning, Sid. Happy birthday. Two major events right now. Israeli attacks Iran and Sid Rosenberg's birthday.
I am taking I'm taking the Israeli attack as an early birthday present. I really wanted them to attack. Now, look. Again, in terms of grand-scale attacks, this was not even close, right? They didn't hit a nuclear facility. They didn't hit any civilians, thank God. They attacked the military base. They sent some drones and missiles, I guess. I'm not even sure what the specifics are. But clearly, it was so small in scale that, according to Fox News this morning, Iran has already said, we're not going to retaliate. Tell me the latest.
Yes, well, overnight, Israel supposedly, allegedly, struck a military base, an airfield in Isfahan, Iran, which is in central Iran, deep inside Iranian territory. The attack was believed to have originated within Iranian territory, meaning that it was not Israeli planes that carried out the strike. Rather, that this came from the northern sections of Iran, the Kurdish sections. Was done using glide bombs with about 60 kilometer range that they fly very low and without heating up, without an engine in them, so they don't set off radar. But it was meant to send a message that Israel can strike very close to the nuclear reactors that Iran has, that it can strike when Iran is not expecting it, and it can avoid any kind of air defenses that Iran might have. There were also strikes last night in Syria, and there are conflicting reports about whether Israel also struck in Baghdad. Both Iraq and Syria, rather, are countries that Iran has destabilized over the last several years, and they use them as forward bases towards attacking Israel. So it was a strike. It sent a powerful message. At the same time, Israel hasn't claimed responsibility, and the Iranians are basically playing ambiguous about it, saying that they're not necessarily going to counterattack because they don't know from where it came. They're also downplaying any damage, and we don't really know how much damage there actually was yet on that base. We're still waiting for more reports to come out, both of Israel and from Iran.
And going back to last Saturday, outside of Bill O'Reilly and Michael Goodwin, everybody else I speak to seems to agree with me that the United States was in on that attack, telling Iran basically what they can and can't do last Saturday night through Turkey. And I'm reading today that here once again, that Israel, if it is them, that Israel told the United States, hey, we're doing this in the next 24 to 48 hours, because we originally heard that Israel was going to do this Monday. Right after the attacks, they didn't do it. Then we heard, well, they're going to wait till after Pesach, which starts Monday, but they didn't do it. They did it on a Friday. And again, according to reports, once again, the United States knew all about it. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, reports are that the United States gave Israel a yellow light, so to speak, to go ahead with an attack. David Cameron was in Israel earlier this week, and he stated that he understood after speaking with President Isaac Herzog that Israel will indeed attack. I think that the Western allies of Israel, you know, understood that Israel could not just allow this to go, you know, unheeded. And, you know, they didn't want to attack, but Israel did it in such a way that they made clear that they weren't targeting civilians. They weren't going to target the nuclear infrastructure. I think that was communicated in advance, and that they would give Iran some kind of plausible out, so to speak, in order to try to make sure that this would be the last of the attacks. But at the same time, don't be sure that this was Israel's only attack in retaliation. This was Israel's first attack in retaliation, and there are some reports that suggest that Israel may continue this style of attacks and escalate further attacks against Iran in the coming days and weeks.
No, I don't see that. I think everybody is basically working their best to defuse the situation. I really believe that, and all of that comes from us. Biden, Blinken, the United States, they don't want World War III. They don't want it. They don't want oil to go up. There's a million reasons why the United States don't want this to happen. It has very little to do with Israelis dying in the streets. Trust me, they're not good people here. They're not. Sorry, Bill O'Reilly. And they are cruel enough and vicious enough to let these things happen. There's enough other reasons why they won't let it happen, so I feel like they are trying to defuse it, and it's working. But what about Rafah? Because, again, BB saying yesterday, we're not listening, we're going to do it. So is it fair to assume then that Rafah may be next?
It is fair to assume, and these issues may or may not be connected. But Israel is sort of making indications that they are going to begin the process of moving civilians out of Rafah. And we saw pictures this week of Gazans on the beach in central Gaza. This may be one of the areas where the civilians that are currently holed up in tent cities in Rafah may be moved to. And only after they're moved and it's clear that there's the infrastructure necessary to bring in, you know, whatever humanitarian supplies the United States is demanding, only after the population is moved, then will you see an Israeli attack in Rafah. But, you know, Israel is going to do it, it seems, and they're going to start those preparations. It could take several weeks before the military goes in.
On the way out, you guys are ahead, so I guess it's about 2 o'clock in the afternoon where you are, Alex Treiman, in Jerusalem this morning. You are moving closer and closer to Shabbat, and then not long after Shabbat, you've got that first Seder for Pesach coming up on Monday. So it's going to be a very holy time, starting really tonight through the next 10 days. And I'll end with this. Are you worried that if there is any retaliation, despite saying there won't be, you can't trust these people, that this may be the perfect time, especially with Jews at home for Pesach, basically sitting ducks.
Well, you know, if you remember when this war started, it was on our holiday of Sukkot, you know, and people were completely unaware. The place was bustling. It felt like the first time Israel was really back since COVID. And then sure enough, we were surprised, you know, on our holy day, Simchat Torah, the last day of the week-long Sukkot festival. And in normal years, Sukkot and Passover are exactly 6 months apart. And these are the two week-long festivals. So certainly things could escalate again. You know, this is a war. We understand it's a war. We're being attacked from Gaza, from Lebanon, from Syria, from Iraq, from Iran, from Yemen. And people don't want it to escalate. And certainly I think the government would like to give the people of Israel, you know, a week of quiet, a festive celebration if they can. But the situation is very, very tenuous right now. We really don't know what's going
to
happen.
Oh, boy. Well, listen, just be careful. Good Shabbos. I'll talk to you during Pesach. But Chag Sameach, you, Tzippi, your lovely family. Thank you for the phone call yesterday, and thank you for doing this morning. You guys, you, Alex, and JNS.org, by far, and I mean by far, the best information outlet in Jerusalem. So be safe, and thank you so much, pal.
Sid, thank you so much, and have a happy birthday. It should be a blessed year for you and for the show.
Thank you, Alex. I love you. That's my friend Alex Trayman right there, the CEO of JNS.org. Another day, another battle with Israel. And we'll see if things calm down now, with Pesach a couple of days away, or escalate. You just don't know. Our one in the books, the great one, not Mark Levin, but Curtis Sliwa, going to be here. And a live visit from the judge. Heartbreak Beat, Psychedelic Furs. Wrapping up, hour number one.
This is Sid and Friends in the Morning.
Entertaining and informative.
Oh, you're my best friend.
77 WABC.
Friday morning at 7:14 on my birthday. The messages keep coming. My nephew, Eddie Baker, Ray Sherry and Albert's son, Jacqueline Poboroff down in Miami, my sister, Elizabeth, down in Parkland, Florida, Larry Walder, Steve Zemack, my old producer, Jennifer Harrison, Andrew Giuliani, Lynn Hort, and others. Charlie Marino, you too, buddy. Thank you. Mike Sullivan, of course, and my former co-worker at WFAN, the great Sean Argeman. So today is interesting. It is my birthday. It is the Ayatollah Khomeini's birthday. We just spoke to Alex Trayman about the latest in Israel. But no one knows more history than Curtis. I thought Bernie was good, God rest his soul. And he was excellent. But nobody's better than Curtis. So on this day, Curtis, these three things happen. It's not Adolf Hitler's birthday. That's tomorrow. That's why Columbine, those two idiots, animals, Klebold and Harris, decided to shoot up Columbine High School. They did it on Hitler's birthday. That's tomorrow, 420, also Big Weed Day. That's why Frank Catania's coming in later. He's opening his store tomorrow. But the things that happened today, you may remember Oklahoma City bombing. What a horrible tragedy that was. Blowing up the building, all these little kids downstairs. That was today, April the 19th. The day the United States basically blew up, set fire, and ended the scene in Waco, Texas, with your buddy David Koresh. That was today. And with Patriot Day on Monday, the day that they found the living Sarnov brother, the older brother Tamerlan, was killed the night before, the younger one bleeding in a boat. After searching for him for almost a full day, he was found on this day, April the 19th. But I know Curtis. Curtis does a tremendous job, gets big ratings, a rip and read, noon to one every weekday afternoon, overnight weekends, and does a tremendous job with me every day. He's probably got 1,000 more things, but we start right there. Those, none of those good, mind you, Curtis, but those three things did happen on April. Well, I shouldn't say that. They found the Tsarnoff brother. That is good. That is good. Otherwise, not so good, April the 19th.
Now, let me tell you something. What's not so good, Sid Rosenberg,
is
you didn't come in with disco for me. It's Disco Friday.
Not today.
You were a disco guy. I'm disappointed.
On my birthday, no Disco Friday.
I'm very disappointed.
No, it's about me today, not you, Kurt.
I understand. But you were disco. And by the way, wrong way, Lou Ruffino, if I were John Catsimatidis, I would have fired the both of you. In your introduction, you played Cats in the Cradle from Cat Stevens, Youssef Islam, who's celebrating today, not your birthday, but the birthday of the Ayatollah Khomeini, because he signed on to the fatwa against Salman Rushdie, who almost got killed outside of Buffalo.
Well, except, one of our except crazies. It's the wrong artist. It's not Cat Stevens.
So what?
Yeah, come back.
It's Harry Chapin?
It's Harry Chapin.
Oh, he got you.
So I think someone else might be on the unemployment line. Have a nice day.
He got you bad there. It is Harry Chapin. He did do a song like that, though, Cat Stevens. Not Cats in the Cradle, but no, that was Harry Chapin. And you know what's funny? When I first heard the song, I thought for a second, that's Cat Stevens, and Curtis is going to kill me. Harry Chapin. Now, how do you feel?
Without disco, you see, I'm off my game.
You're not off your game. You are on your game. And I was thinking about you last night because we had this dinner, you know, and all those guys there love you. Despite all the horrible things you've said over the years,
they all
love you.
Kiss Adam's ass.
No, they don't. And guess who was not there last night?
Who?
The mayor.
Oh, gee whiz. I guess he was trying to hire more attorneys to ward off the pending U.S. investigation, since now he wants a Giulianiite Randy Mastro.
You know what I've heard?
Yes.
And you've heard this, too.
Yes.
And I'm not going to give out any names, but I know you've heard this. I've heard that since these investigations started to get real serious, and I guess I'm talking about the FBI raids and not necessarily the woman stuff, that from people who know him and still like him, they're still loyal to him, but to a man they've said to me, I swear to you, Curtis, he's changed. He's a different person. He's not the same guy. Not that he's paranoid necessarily, but people who really love him have said to me, look at how happy you are. Look at you. You son of a gun. Look at you.
Yeah, believe this propaganda. Like Israel attacked Iran, right? Wag the dog three. Yeah. But before we get into all of that, I want to give you my present because my present has meaning. You mentioned a tit for a tat and you didn't want to say it by itself.
Right.
But I stopped outside of New York Sun. I had a whole pizza at New Park Pizzeria in Howard Beach, Cross Bay Boulevard. And across is a tanning salon. Yes.
Did you see William DeMeo from Gravesend?
No,
he was there, too.
I didn't see him. But
now that is my tanning salon across the street.
That's right.
I'll be there today.
And I had to get you nipple protectors. Because if something happens to your nipples, that's it. You know what that leads to. So understand, I spent a lot of money to get these nipple protectors for you. When you go into the tanning bed.
Curtis, these are not nipple protectors.
What are they?
These are for your eyes.
Well, you can put them on your nipples, too. They're like pasties. I'm off my game, you see? Where's my disco? But anyway, let's get to the fake wars.
Before you go to the fake war, on a serious note.
Yes.
This is actually a really good card. It's actually very sweet. When was the last time you bought anybody a birthday card? I got to think Nancy, you're beautiful, and I do love Nancy. I got to think Nancy is doing all these things.
No. I did. It was right down the block on Coast Bay Boulevard.
There's a CVS right across the street.
There's
from the pizza.
Indian guys. They have all the cards chopped there. Went in there. They wanted to talk to me about Bombay, Madras, Pondicherry. I said, look, just give me a card. That's it.
Thank
they
you.
Picked it out.
Thank you. It's cute. Did the guys at Newport, they know who you are, right?
Of course. I gave the guy a beret there.
That's
the guy
awesome.
Has made me so many pizzas. I've been eating at Newport Pizzeria since I was 5 years old.
You have been?
5 years old.
I try to explain to Gabe that when I was young, in my teenage years, I guess, my teenage years, that's when the Italians chased those black kids onto the Belt Parkway with bats, and they died, those kids.
Michael Griffin.
Michael, very good.
Yeah.
So I explained to my son that this used to be that type of neighborhood, and he goes, well, wait a second, Daddy, we go to Lenny's, we go to these other restaurants in Howard Beach, and there's a lot of black people there. I said, well, it's changed. I said 30 years ago, you were never going to find a black person in New Park Pizza, but thank God it changed.
You did in Lenny's.
Lenny's, remember, yes.
Lenny's used to advertise overnight on Channel 9. Blacks and Hispanics on their way to Far Rockaway, they had to make to Lenny's Clam Ball.
So they've been going there because, you know, you know, Lenny's this year is celebrating their 50-year birthday, 50 years.
I mean, that's the favorite of blacks and Hispanics. You walk in there, it's a mixed crowd.
Yeah, it always
but
is.
But blacks and Hispanics love Lenny's. Really good food there. But let me get on to this fake phony war that's been going back and forth. Wag the dog. Come on, yeah. Hey, by the way, where's Beebe? I haven't seen Beebe do any press conferences lately, huh? Well, where's Beebe? Beebe always would get FaceTime. There hasn't been nothing.
Didn't we see him 2 days ago? Maybe not.
You saw Buckus.
Yeah. No, you're right. It wasn't a press conference at all. It may have been like media or something. You're right. Yeah.
This is all fake because the attack is not going to take place in Israel or Iran. And by the way, the three kings didn't come and bring you any presents because they were from Persia, Iran.
Yeah.
So you may be King David II, but you ain't Jesus Christ.
No, I'm
because
not.
You would have turned the Persians away.
True. So you're saying the attack is not going to happen in Iran
no.
or Israel.
No.
So Curtis Sliwa, tell this huge listening audience then, where is this attack going to happen?
New York City!
Oh, stop it.
Well, excuse me. Did you see Columbia University? They're flying Hezbollah flags, Hamas flags. You never saw that before. They are here. They are here amongst us. FBI Director Wray, how many times does he have to tell us they're here, they're going to hit us? Congressman Peter King goes down to Washington, D.C. to testify. He tells us they're here, they're going to hit us. We are totally unprepared because we will not work with ICE. Joe Biden leaves the borders completely open. You have Eric Adams who's lawyering himself up and not preparing for the terrorist attack that's coming. So if you happen to be the Ayatollah celebrating his birthday today on your birthday with your mother, Naomi, you're saying, what do we need? We're going to hit the big Israel. That's New York City. That's where all the big machas are, the big Jews are, right in New York City. They've always wanted to hit New York City, and they're going to hit us again, because once again, we're asleep at the wheel.
I agree with you. You know, I keep trying to figure out. I agree with you 100%. And we've had these conversations, you and I. Ray Kelly has said that on this show, and other people that you and I both love and respect, Bo and others. I'm trying to figure out, look, there's not going to be another 9/11 attack where they fly airplanes into buildings. But you're right, they're here. They're in Brooklyn right now. They're in Queens right now. Manhattan, maybe.
They have falafel stands. They're selling Jews falafels and saying, we're going to get you.
Don't
laugh. We're going to get you, Juden.
They're all those halal food stands and the pretzel guys. So what do you think it looks like? What do you think it looks like if and when they do? Because I agree they're going to attack. What do you guys show up with machine guns on 42nd Street? What does it look like?
Any number of methods. But it's got to be bigger than the attack on 9/11.
Oh, they can't do that.
Well,
you're not going to kill 3,000 people in New York again. There's no way.
Don't ever say they can't.
Well, how are they going
to
do it?
Because they live to do this. Remember, Sid, unlike you and everybody you know, and by the way, this morning, I thought it was Ralph Edwards. This is your life. It could have been Harry Harrison doing school snow cancellations. You mentioned everybody in your life, people who are alive, people who are not alive. I said, I read already. This is going on and on and on. But think about it. They know they got us. We're asleep. RNYPD, which was the best counterterrorist unit of any, would work directly with ICE when Raymond Kelly was the police commissioner. 12 times they stopped terrorist attacks here. They never tell that story. But now Eric Adams says, oh, I can't let the NYPD work with ICE. By the way, ICE has the computer with 2 million terrorists on the terrorist watch list. Want to bet that all 2 million of them would love to blow up New York City, would love to set off a bomb, whether it's a dirty bomb, whether it's sarin gas, or whether it's another attack on 9/11. How the hell could you be the mayor and not tell your NYPD, plug into that computer, let them sue me, let the city council sue me? The man has no culions. He has no balls to stand up to people in city council who would just as soon fly the flag of Hezbollah and Hamas. The socialists, they're out there all around Columbia University. They're flying Hezbollah flags, Hamas flags, and some of them are Jews. And some of you Jews, you contribute to Columbia University. You should take a menorah and impale yourself. And yesterday, Governor David Patterson, your friend, right? My husband-in-law, graduate of Columbia University. I said on the 5 o'clock roundtable discussion, ask him about Columbia University. They never did, because all the graduates of Columbia University, like Stephanopoulos and all of them, they don't want to say anything. Hey, you got to stand up loud and proud, Jews. They're going to attack us again. And when we catch them, they're going to be asked the question, why did you attack us in New York City? Because that's where most of the Jews are. That's where they control the world. That's where they own most of the real estate. How many times can you be caught asleep at the wheel? That's wag the dog in Iran and Israel. The real attack is coming to New York City, and our leaders once again have forsaken us. Biden, Hochul, and Adams, I can't do anything. Well, get the hell out of there then.
WABC. This is Sid and Friends in the Morning.
No, I get by with a little help from my friends.
Happy birthday. Have the most amazing, incredible, uplifting, and holy, inspirational year with goodness and guidance and clarity and just a wholesome year ahead. And keep doing what you're doing. Change the world one word at a time with your radio station. Happy birthday.
Time favorites, the great Barry Manilow, Mandy. This one goes out to my former producer and dear friend, the great Joe Vitale, a.k.a. Flirty Flipper, just sent me a very nice birthday message. And when I look back to getting back to New York in 2000, 16 and doing the show with Bernard, God rest his soul. And I think Meanie was here then. I don't even remember. But certainly Jill was here. And she did a great job. She really did. And we're great friends to this day. So thank you for the birthday wishes, Jill. And the young lady you heard before the song, her name is Zimra. And let me tell you how I met Zimra. It was one of the nights when I was in Israel. Jehuda Honickman took me to a barbecue. So three or four times a week, Jehuda and all of his buddies, they actually make barbecues for the IDF soldiers. Unbelievable stuff. On this specific night, it was a group of soldiers who had been fighting for four consecutive months in Judea and Samaria, which some of you folks, the Goyim, call the West Bank. And Zimra was one of the young ladies out there actually flipping hamburgers. This cute kid out there flipping hamburgers. And I met her, haven't seen her or spoken to her since, but she sent me a lovely birthday message. John and Margot Katzimatidis, both of them with beautiful messages this morning. Thank you for that, John and Margot. And Margot said that Dr. Peter Michalos sends his best. I love the fact that Dr. Peter listens. I love Dr. Pete, too. So thank you, John, Margot, and Dr. Michalos, Heshi Organbaum, Cindy Groves, my cousin Shannon Barbanel, my sister Alana Wagowski, Laura McDonough, we love her. She sends her best. Arthur Idala, who I saw last night. Yes, I know Arthur. They found former Patriot tight end Aaron Hernandez dead in his jail cell today. Thank you for that, Arthur.
All right. And happy birthday.
Yeah, right.
Wow.
Our good buddy Vinny Madunio does a great job on Saturdays here with a beautiful birthday wish. Tommy Leonard. Tommy, of course, the owner of Il Cortile, the best Italian restaurant in Little Italy. I love him. Chris Alenzo, my friend from the Metropolitan Republican Club. They got a big night coming up. Jamie Serna and Mike Antonatis. He used to be the big shot at Maimonides, but he has since left. He listens from Chicago every day. We have listeners right now in Israel, in California, in Chicago, all over the world and all over the country. So we've had a great start already. Alex Trayman joined us live from Israel at 6:45, and then Curtis was great. Coming up momentarily live in studio, the judge, Andrew Napolitano. We're also going to talk today to Joseph Tacopina. Lara Trump is going to deliver a happy birthday message from all the Trumps. Lara will be on at 8:45. Frank Catania, star of New Jersey Housewives. He's got a new store opening tomorrow in New Jersey. And my mom, that's the big one. That's going to be a disaster. I'm telling you right now.
I'll take a break during that and just get more tissues.
Well, though, I haven't touched the box yet.
Okay.
I sat down this morning at 5 to 6, and there was a bunch of fudge here that MJ made me, Louie's girlfriend, and a nice birthday card and a box of Kleenex. And when I play the happy birthday message from my dad, which I played at 6 o'clock, I played again for my mom at 8:15, it's going to be rough, so.
Just be ready. I would predict that, yes.
Yeah, it's going to be very rough.
Okay.
And I promised everybody yesterday I wasn't going to cry, and Danielle was like, "Will you stop it? Of course you're going to cry." Well, and I cried in like 30 seconds.
You cried at Jaws. You cried at...
I cry everything. You're right. Yeah. Pete Morgan, happy birthday. Jason Trenert. They just keep coming in, so. And I'm enjoying it. I'm not going to lie to you. 57, again, is not a big deal, but as I mentioned in the 6 o'clock hour, if you knew me as Lewis did in my raging days, well, a lot of folks, including my own wife, who said you're never going to see 40, let alone 57. So now I'm the pillar of discipline. The pillar of discipline.
Okay. Next shirt.
I'm sorry. Mark Healy checks in. Peter King, happy birthday. Thank you, Peter. I love you. Zeb Brenner checking in. I mean, you got to understand, I'm at Casa Cipriani last night with a bunch of fun, wealthy, good-looking people, and they would have stayed as long as I wanted to. And about 10:30, I said, "I got to go." Now, you've known me a lot of years. You've dragged me out of bars at 4 a.m. from Chelsea to you name it.
Places I don't remember.
Right. Could you imagine? Now, I go for these dinners every month. You know that. And Keith Kantrowitz and Anthony Carone and Governor David Patterson and Mark Oringer and Michael Kemper and Manash Shapiro and Arthur Idala. It's a bunch of great guys. Could you ever have imagined 20 years ago that I would say to you, Lou, bankrolled by all these guys, they pay for everything. Let's go.
Okay, gotta get going. Look at the clock.
Did you ever have imagined that?
No. God bless those guys, but they're not getting up at the hour we're getting
up. No, they're not.
But
it didn't matter to me back then. I was getting up the same exact time, and I was still out all night.
What are you talking about? We're going to stay out.
I would always go to Lou. It's early. Lou's like, it's 3 o'clock in the morning. You got to be in the studios to see Imus and Tracy and Bernie in literally 2 hours. Yeah. It's early.
So do I.
Stop being a pussy.
It's early.
It's early.
It's early for the next night.
Right. It is early for the next morning. Yes. Anyway, I'm disciplined now. Yeah. All right. I am a pillar of discipline. The judges are coming up next.
Boy, you're my best friend.
This is Sid and Friends in the Morning.
For my friends.
77 WABC.
Favorite songs, the unforgettable Fire, as Louis continues to play some of my favorite music on this April 19th, my 57th birthday. My birthday. Big night tonight, Shabbat dinner at the Swanky Rockaway Hotel with my family. That's going to be fun. And then we'll see what the rest of the weekend has in store. The judge, Andrew Napolitano, is in every week at this time and does an amazing job. I kind of like you in Browns. I like the brown.
Thank you. But I got to tell you, I wish I were 18 again.
Yeah, tell me about it. Tell me.
God bless you.
I know, man.
The best of everything. I wish I had known it was your birthday. Why didn't Justin tell me? I would have brought you more maple syrup.
I know. You owe me a bottle.
I do.
The maple syrup. And now Danielle makes these protein pancakes.
Oh.
And I drown them in Aunt Jemima, and I don't want to buy Aunt Jemima.
No, you don't want
anymore.
Aunt Jemima. Did you use up the jar that I already gave you?
Yeah, I used it up already.
You'll get another one next week.
All right. My daughter is reminding me, too, Ava. She's a big Taylor Swift fan. I hate Taylor Swift. I didn't always hate her. I used to love her. Liked her music. Me and Bernie both liked her.
Right.
Then she became friends with this Hadid animal, the one that Bradley Cooper is banging. And they give money to the Palestinians in Gaza. So you're done, right.
She's going to endorse Joe Biden.
She's not going to endorse anybody, trust me.
No.
She's not going to endorse. She hates Trump, but she won't endorse anybody. But today she does drop, I guess that's how kids say it. They don't release it, they drop it. Some stupid album. I forgot the name already.
Tortured Poet.
How do you know that?
I think I just heard it on the radio.
You son of a bitch.
I am not a Taylor Swift fan.
Yes, you are. You're a Swiftie. Admit it, you're a Swiftie. Come on,
my
judge.
Age, I'm a Swiftie?
Hey, there are old people who are Swifties. You'd be surprised.
Right.
She does sing about Travis Kelce in this record, as if I care. So let me tell you, I've watched a lot of stuff along the way, 57 years today. I've seen a lot of trials. I've seen a lot of criminals come and go. I've seen people that were convicted of stuff they didn't do. I've seen it all. I have never seen anything like what Donald Trump is going through. This judge, this Mershon, is such a scumbag. Can't go to his kid's high school graduation, yells at him all day long, gag orders from the DA, yet Michael Cohen can go on television. Poor Trump is freezing. They got him in a room with the air conditioning way, way high. He's freezing to death. He's 77 years old. What they're doing to this guy is torture.
Well, this is the first I heard was the freezing was last night when he complained how cold it was in there. I don't know why they have air conditioning on in April. It's 45 degrees out right now. But that is probably beyond Justice Mershon's control. That's probably the facilities people in the courthouse. I thought he did a workmanlike job from a technical perspective of picking the jury. There was no politics. There was no rancor. I thought it would take 2 weeks. It only took a week.
Yeah, but don't you think it only took a week because he's trying to rush this thing? They want to get some verdict in as quickly as possible to hurt Trump politically?
Even if that is the case, I didn't see any indication of unfairness to Trump in the choosing of the jury.
But what about this one nurse? And I brought this up with Idala, and she has since left. She ran away yesterday. She's scared, whatever.
Right.
But she actually said, quote, "No one is above the law." Now, Arthur Idala said to me, well, hold on a second. You didn't hear the whole thing, so maybe there was other context. He said, based on that comment, no one is above the law, you would think that, yes, she's there to hammer Trump. I go, well, that's all I heard. How could they possibly pick her? And they didn't until she left.
Right. Now, remember, the judge does not pick the jury. The lawyers do. Todd Blanche is an excellent trial lawyer. He has signed off on all 12 of these people. I might not have signed off on them, but I don't know the facts in the case the way Todd does. So you got to give him the benefit of the doubt. And I can give you an evaluation on what I'm now about to say in a week or two once they start presenting evidence. This case is so complex, so difficult for a jury to understand. This is not a case of bank robbery or assault that when you see it happening, you know it's wrong. This is something that requires level after level after level of explanation and understanding. Trump could skate. If he walks out of this courthouse acquitted, it's a badge of honor and a badge of courage, the likes of which he couldn't have paid for.
See, no one has said to me he'll be acquitted. To your point, it is very confusing. I had Alan Dershowitz on a couple of days ago because there's like state laws and federal laws, and somehow Alvin Bragg between state and federal came up with this nonsense case because it is nonsense. The only thing I've heard that can work in Trump's favor is a hung jury.
Well, a hung jury is in his favor, but nothing beats an acquittal. As Winston Churchill used to say, the greatest feeling in the world is being fired at and being missed. So they're firing at him now, and if they miss...
In a courtroom in New York with this judge and this jury,
right?
How is it possible he could be acquitted? How?
Because the jury might not buy the government's theory of the case. The government's theory of the case is that bookkeeping shenanigans were used to mask two federal felonies.
So you're going to tell me, and you're as good as it gets, you're going to tell me that a trial in New York, and again, I love Donald Trump, okay, so I get it.
All right.
But you're going to tell me a trial in New York has the potential to be fair?
Yes. But I can, but that is just my gut instinct from all my years in the courtroom. And candidly, my years in the courtroom are all on the other side of the Hudson River. I did some work in New York before I was a judge, but not a jury trial. I will have a better feel for this once I see how the case goes in. It will rise and fall on two people, the cross-examination of Stormy Daniels and the cross-examination of Michael Cohen. And there is a treasure trove of material with which to Sid, you could cross-examine them.
I mean, did you hear what you just said? A porn star and a filthy, felonious attorney who's on TV every day. I mean, it's got to be a dream come true for Suzanne and Todd, no?
Yes. It's also very indicative to me of the weakness in the state's case because the state can't control its own witness. I have never seen a case where the state's principal witness is on the news every night blasting the defendant. He should be zipping his lip just like they're making Trump zip his.
That's right. I want to get to that because you just nailed it. Michael Cohen can go on TV and hammer Trump on MSNBC, but gag order after gag order after gag order. What happens next with the latest gag order? We're going to find out from the great judge Andrew Napolitano because that's coming up in a couple of days. Keep it right here. The judge on my birthday.
Friends in the morning.
77 WABC.
Phil Collins, Easy Lover, as Louis continues to make me happy on my birthday. I love you, Louis. Thank you. Margaret Powers checks in. I love Margaret, the wife of Paul King. Paul running for Congress again in my neighborhood against that louse Gregory Meeks. Colleen Smith checks in.
Gregory Meeks is your congressman?
Yes, he is.
Oh, my God.
He's not my congressman.
He happens to be.
He's not my congressman, but he is my neighborhood, yes.
Wow.
Tim McCarthy. Love Tim McCarthy, former program director at WABC ESPN. He checks in. Mary Glynn, who actually runs the Rockaway Republican Party, she's checking in. Jack Manzo out there in New Jersey. He's the guy that made Jack Cittarelli a household name. Cassandra Watkins checking in. And the former Mr. CBS Radio Hall of Famer, my dear friend Dan Mason. This is a who's who that is texting me all morning long.
Well, you don't have a birthday every day.
I don't. But I guess most of them listen
every
day.
Actually, it's like a party here every Friday morning. The public should know that.
You do have a good time on Fridays. You're right. I love that. Man, when you laugh, it makes me so happy. Your laugh is like contagious. So cute.
Fox gave away an app with my laugh on
they
it.
They should.
They gave away a couple thousand. I walked into a restaurant on Columbus Avenue, one of those big places. I could hear myself laughing in the back. Somebody saw me, and they pressed the app, and they put it on speakerphone. It was hilarious.
They get these suicide hotlines, and people call, I'm going to kill myself. They should just play your laugh. They'll be so happy. I'm not going to kill myself. I want to listen to the judge. So last we talked, you said you don't get it. Neither do I. How does Michael Cohen... why is he allowed to go on MSNBC and whip the president, yet when Trump farts, they want to kill him? They said he's now broken the gag order 7 times, and you're telling me there's an actual hearing coming up?
This is why gag orders are profoundly unfair. This is why I'm proud to say I never entered one in all my years on the bench, primarily because they violate the First Amendment, but also because it's never fair. You silence one side, and the other side gets to say what they want. It's also very telling that the state cannot control its leading witness, because what he says on MSNBC, a slip of the lip, and there have been many, could be used to cross-examine him. Todd Blanche will say, didn't you say this last week? And the prosecutors will cringe because they weren't there. Now, what Trump has to worry about is this Tuesday, April 23rd. They're going to stop the trial for half a day and hold a hearing.
Right.
Did Donald Trump violate the gag orders because the government wants to lock him up? Now, he did violate the gag orders 7 times. It's up to Justice Merchan what he wants to do.
Oh, my God. That's the guy we need to count on?
That's the guy you need to count on. I doubt that there'll be incarceration, but there'll be threats of it.
There'll be threats of it. Okay.
Yeah, see, here's the thing. You're the judge. You don't want people influencing the jury from outside the courtroom, whether it's Donald Trump or Michael Cohen. You don't want this stuff going on. So if you are going to enter a gag order, it should be bilateral. It shouldn't just be aimed at the defendant.
Got to tell you, Judge, man, whether it was Kaplan in the E. Jean Carroll case, Engoron in the ridiculous, repulsive A.G. Letitia James case,
or this
clown Marshawn. I mean, you know, the guy in Georgia, Scott, forget it, McAfee, you know, he stepped up a little bit, and, you know, at least he embarrassed Fannie Willis for a couple of days, but... These judges, man, they don't care.
Wait till the outcome. You might be praising Merchan 2 months from now.
I'll tell you what. There's a better chance I provide you with oral in front of Macy's window on New Year's Eve, okay?
Remember, Sid, you're the king of the Jews.
I am. Yes, I am. Now, Thursday, I believe, 2 days after this gag order thing, is another big day. Another day the judge will not allow Donald Trump to leave the courthouse, like for his own son's graduation. That is the immunization day, right? The
oral argument in the Supreme Court.
Yes.
Correct.
On Thursday, which he's not allowing Trump to go to.
Correct. We'll have an indication which way that's going to go from the oral argument, or we might not. You can't always tell.
What do you think? What does your gut tell you? Because I spoke to, was it Idala? Takapina's coming on today, and he said his gut tells him it ain't going to be a win for Trump.
My gut tells me the same. My gut tells me the same, that the court is doing a favor to the legal community by deciding this once and for all. But all the cases up to this point have said no immunity for after you leave the White House.
Are you still as nervous for what you want after this about the Jack Smith case and the Georgia case, or has some of that real concern leveled off just a little?
It has not.
It has not.
It has not. I heard what Judge Cannon said yesterday when she declined to dismiss the case against his two co-defendants in Mar-a-Lago, and she was very stern. I'm not optimistic for Trump. I'm optimistic it won't be tried before Election Day, which means if he wins as president, it'll never be tried. If he doesn't win or something else happens, and that case is tried, it's the most dangerous of them for him.
The worst case scenario, we'll wrap up with this, in this New York case, is 4 years in jail. The best is probation, if he's convicted.
He is more likely to go to jail because he can't stop taunting the witnesses on social media than he is if he's convicted.
So he's not going to spend one day in jail if he gets convicted.
Correct. He's not a danger to the community. He has no priors. It's not a violent crime. Every indication is no jail, no matter what he's convicted of in this case. But he may spend a few nights downstairs if he can't stop taunting the witnesses. That will really get under the judge's skin.
But they said at one point he was intimidating the witnesses. I mean, come on. He's not John Gotti. Come on, man. He's got to say something under his breath. The guy, what do you want from the guy? He really is a caged animal.
I know he is a caged animal. I saw him last night, not in person. I saw him just as he walked out of the courtroom, and he was ready to explode. It was like 8 hours of irritation was coming out in 8 minutes.
I don't know what you want from the guy. It just seems completely unfair. Anyway, you are brilliant. You are great. And you're going to be on TV in a little bit.
Yep.
Tell the folks, too, about your amazing podcast.
Judging Freedom. We're up to $10 million a month. It's been I've been very, very blessed to have some very bright people on, ex-military, ex-CIA, and academics, explaining the world slightly different than mainstream media, and I'm very happy about it. We put up about 18 shows a week.
Wow. 18
so
shows
as soon as I
week.
Finish across the street, I'm not allowed to mention where I'm going across the street because the Catman will throw me out.
And me, by the way.
Right. But as soon as I finish there, I rush back to New Jersey to do two more shows this afternoon.
Good for you. Be done by Shabbos, of course.
Yes,
you're observant Jew. Don't be confused by Napolitano.
Yes, O King of the Jews, whatever you say.
I love you. Thank you for
love
being
you too.
Here.
Happy birthday, my dear friend.
Yeah,
God bless you.
It's actually cool you're here on my birthday.
It is. You're getting your Christmas gift next Friday.
All right. Thank you. That is the great Judge Andrew Napolitano, who'll be across the street. You know what that means? And that'll do his podcast. And then he'll be back next Friday with that beautiful laugh. We'll take a short break. Lots more to do. Lara Trump is going to deliver a Trump happy birthday message coming up at 8:45. Joseph Tacopina, 9:15. Frank Catania, New Jersey housewife. He's opening up a brand new store in New Jersey tomorrow. If you like weed, you'll love the store. He'll be here at 9:30. But coming up next, she shares the same birthday as me. Yes, today I turn 57, and my mom, Naomi, turns 89. My mother, Naomi, on her own birthday, is coming up after the news.
Oi! This is Sid and Friends in the Morning.
Friends, how many of us have them? Friends.
77 WABC.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Sidney. I love you so much.
I can't remember when you were there, when I didn't care for anyone but you. I swear we've been through everything there is. Can't imagine anything we've missed. Can't imagine anything the two of us can't do. Through the years, you've never let me down. You've turned my life around. The sweetest days I've found with you. Through the years, I've never been afraid. I've loved the life we've made, and I'm so glad I stayed right here with you through the years.
Of all the things that I own, that one, my most cherished. I know you've heard it before, but that was my dad. Literally, 3 months before he died, singing me happy birthday. God damn it. I keep saying I'm not going to cry, but I can't help it. Now my mother's coming on, and she's going to make it worse. So give me 2 seconds to get myself together here before I bring her on. Because my mom celebrates a birthday with me. Well, actually, I celebrated a birthday with her. She was here before me. She's 89. Today, I'm 57. But she is she's a young 89. She's got a cult following on this show that is second to none. I really think outside of Trump, Naomi Rosenberg may be the next beloved American. She says everything I say, but she has no fear of the FCC. I mean, none. I've got a little bit. She's got none. So. She just comes on and let her rip. So with that said, here she is celebrating her 89th birthday. I love her so much. My mom, Naomi. Happy birthday, Mom.
Happy birthday. Good morning to my beautiful, handsome, talented son. It was tough, Sydney. It was tough.
I know.
It was really tough. But he would want us to carry on. He would want us to do what we're doing. Because that was your dad, you know. He never gave up. He never, ever gave up. He fought to the bitter end. So we got to make the best of each day, each minute, each hour, each time that we are breathing on this earth. It's for his sake and for our sake and for sure for your beautiful Danielle and the two children. And for me, for all of my children, as I started all of this, but for the grace of me, though all of my children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren, I started this. Grandma Flores started it before me, but I took the mantle, and it's my pleasure that I started all of my beautiful children and their families. So with that said, I do believe, I have to believe, Sydney, I have to believe that there is a superior power. I don't care who you pray to. I don't care whether you're Jewish or not Jewish. Whether you're our people or not our people, we all have a superior power that we must believe in, because if we don't have that, Sidney Ferris Rosenberg, we have nothing.
I agree. And that's why I choose to believe that Daddy is watching and listening and, you know, this great success I've had this year, Mom, which I never could have predicted, never, 8 years ago when I came back here. I have to believe he's got a part in all of that. And look, you know, he and I were very close. You guys were married in over 60 years. It's a long time. And we celebrated a lot of birthdays together. But I do want the folks to know that it wasn't always peaches and cream, because according to you, I don't remember, I was way too young. In fact, I had just been born. But according to you, when you delivered me, of all your four children, it was far and away the most horrendous. And you even considered at one point jumping out of the hospital window, Mom. Is that true?
That's all true. You gave me a tough run for it, let me tell you. I didn't have easy birth, any of my four children, but you gave me a run for the money. Oh, my God.
And I continued to do that for about 40 years, by the way, Mom.
Oh, did you ever? Anyhow, you spoke earlier on your show, Daddy will be gone 4 years, July 1st. You didn't know the exact.
No, I don't know if it was 4 or 5 years. It feels it's too long for me.
It's much too long.
Yeah, it feels longer.
Too soon.
It feels longer. Yeah.
We can't bring them back, and we just have to live with it the best we can, and we are, and we will. And you have to continue on for your beautiful family and your success and your career. And as long as Hashem wants me here, I'll stay. When it's time for me to go, I will meet your dad, and then I will be with him forever.
No, that's tough.
It's tough, but I'm going to make it, Sydney. I'm going to make it.
Well, is it all possible, Mom? Is it all possible? Because it is your birthday, and we do celebrate our birthdays as family, and we have fun. Is it possible? Because I'm going to have fun tonight. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm going to be with Danielle, Ava, and Gabe. I'm going to a Shabbat dinner at the very swanky Rockaway Hotel, and I'm going to have fun. Is it possible for you to have fun on your birthday anymore?
No. No. I can't.
No.
I can't. That's who I am. You know, Sydney, that's who I am. Elizabeth and Michael, they have Forrest with them here this weekend. You know, they're here. They're in the country,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And so Forrest came last night, but they begged me just to go for dinner, which I will, but I'm not.
By the way, Mom, you're assuming that my audience knows who the hell Lizzie, Michael, and Forrest are. That's my sister, Lizzie.
Oh, yeah, no, your sister.
Right. You're on a radio show. It's not just you and I on the phone.
Yeah, right. No, your sister Elizabeth and your brother-in-law Michael and my grandson Forrest. They're all in their beautiful home here in the mountains, which is like right around the corner from me. And they want to take me for dinner, which I will go with them.
Okay, good.
To eat.
Where are you going to go?
They want to make something special, but I don't want to. I just want to go with them.
Listen, Mom, I hate to break this here. There's nothing special up there. I mean.
There was some, you know, that used to be the homestead.
Is that a steakhouse again?
Yeah. It's like, you know, the ambiance is beautiful.
Oh, the ambiance.
You know, me
okay.
with food, sure. Sydney, I could kill it.
Well, you know, this place, Eldred Preserve, where Daddy used to take us quite a bit, and it used to be really great. And you talk about ambiance, it's gorgeous. But they served Danielle fish one night, and it looked like cat food. I've never gone back.
No, but that's the place I'm talking about. But like I said, to reiterate what I just said a minute ago, I could care less about the food. You know, I don't really care. I'm not such an eater. I'm very disciplined. You and Danielle know that.
Yeah.
And so it's not about the food. It's just being with your sister and your brother-in-law and your nephew and just be with somebody tonight. Other than that, I could care less.
Do you still drink? I don't even know if you do. Do you still drink? Like, would you have a drink tonight?
Yeah, I would have, like, my vodka, my Zier vodka.
You're going to get hammered? But you wouldn't get hammered. You're not going to be, like, you know, like
well, no,
doing
I
that
would,
fan
I
dance
do
that,
that
you do.
Anyhow, you know, Lucy and Michael wouldn't appreciate that.
Yeah.
No. But with that said, Sydney, we got to make the best of the day. And hopefully, like I said, Hashem will grant me more years. And if not, so be it.
No, you got plenty of time. Stop it. So any of my psycho fans or your psycho fan, for that matter, stop by the house as they do often, uninvited, unaddressed, with like Trump flags or toys or something?
You know what, Sydney? There's nobody here yet.
Nobody's there.
Nobody. There is nobody here. Mm. I mean, just like, you know, Kathy Prestigiacomo, she lives here.
Here you go again. No one knows. I don't know who these people are, Mom. You're on the radio. It's not you and I.
Yes, you do. You know Kathy.
No, but the people listening don't know who Kathy is, Mom. It's me. This is not a private phone call.
I know. Okay, so I'm just saying there is nobody here. There's three people here, Sydney.
That's it?
You know who Candy is.
Oh, here she goes again.
Your cousin
My
Candy
cousin Candy,
is.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
So, but other than that, there's nobody here. It's too soon. After Memorial Day.
Right.
After May 31st, that's when everybody comes
Memorial
back,
Day, you got it right, yeah. Right,
yeah.
That's the official start of the summer.
Yeah, so that's when people really, up to this point, there's nobody here.
So,
okay.
So listen, Mom, do you want, Monday starts Pesach, right after our birthday, we go right to Passover, which is kind of cool, actually. And we were considering, Danielle and I, maybe coming to pick you up. And what are you doing for the first Seder?
You know what, Cindy? It's a big schlep and it's a big trip. And it's not necessary. I'll be here by myself, but it's okay. You know, it really is okay. I'll make myself something here. I do observe the holiday, but I have the first couple nights and then it goes back to, we're not... Listen, we practice our Judaism, but we're not so religious, and at least I'm not. And I do, like I said, I observe the first two nights. I try to have, like, matzahs and things of that nature, but I don't keep it the whole week. I'm honest. I'm very honest.
Right. No, listen, I was, we'll wrap this up shortly here, Mom, but I actually presented Dov Hyken with an award at a shul event Sunday night on Long Island. Gene Stevens was there. Again, I'm doing what you're doing now. David Oppmann. People don't know who these people are. And I actually said...
I was freaking out.
Yeah, I know. I haven't seen David in 30 years. But I actually sat up there. I go, I'm the type of Jew that on the third night of Passover, I'm having chicken parmesan. So I'm honest about that, too. Now, look, there's no question. Since October the 7th, we have done a lot more. In fact, again, Danielle joined the temple. We've gone to many Shabbat dinners. We're going to a Shabbat dinner tonight. It's swanky and fancy, but it's a Shabbat dinner. So we have changed almost dramatically since October the 7th. But like you, we don't celebrate every day of every holiday. So we're with you. All right, well, listen, I love you very much. And I'm happy you're here. And Daddy's happy you're here. And Daddy is celebrating with us today. I know that. So I want you to have a happy birthday. Do the best you can. Enjoy Lizzie and Michael and Forrest and that beautiful family. And I will see you very, very soon. But I love you so much, Mom. I really do. Happy birthday.
Sidney Ferris, you have given me such joy and such pleasure these last few years since you are back here. I couldn't even begin to tell you. I know that Danielle and your children appreciate you. But, Sidney, I carried you in my body. You are very special to me. And, Sidney Ferris Rosenberg, you have given me years to my life. I am here today. I'm 89 years old. I'm like 29. That's how good I am. And you helped us along the way because you gave me such joy and such pleasure. And I know that Daddy feels that way. God should watch you. Hashem, take care of you for me and Danielle and the children. Be safe. Be well. Enjoy this day the best you can with your family, and we will talk again. I love you with every breath in my body, Sidney Ferris Rosenberg. I love you. Have a good day. Goodbye.
You've taught me everything I know. Can't imagine needing someone so. But through the years it seems to me I need you more and more. Through the years, through all the good and bad, I know how much we had. I've always been so glad to be with you. Through the years, it's better every day. You've kissed my tears away. As long as it's okay, I'll stay with you through the years.
Sit in Friends in the Morning,
77 WABC.
Sunshine sky, there's a reason why I'm feeling so high. Must be the season when that love light shines all around us. So let that feeling grab you deep inside and send you reeling where your love can't hide. And then go stealing through the moonlit nights with your lover. Just let your love flow like a mountain stream, and let your love grow with the smallest of dreams, and let your love show, and you'll know what I mean. It's the season. Let your love fly like a bird on the wing, and let your love bind you to all living things, and let your love shine.
So President Donald Trump is back in court today in about an hour, 9:30, the fourth and final time this week. They're going to wrap up the rest of the judges. They're the judges, the jurors, I should say. They've got all seven. They have a bunch more alternates to get to today. And his daughter-in-law, who I love dearly, Lara Trump, is going to join us coming up in about 10 minutes. My mother, Naomi, is sharing a birthday today. I share the birthday with her. I keep saying that. She just blew my phone up. Everybody's sitting somewhere crying right now, whether it's Simon Glansberg or my sister Ray Sherry or Mike and Donna Sullivan or my dear friend Tom Mango or Lisa Ganji or Joe Parisi or Frank Catania's brother-in-law. He'll join me later, Frank Louis Spagnola, Dory Leewack from the New York Post, Mike Kemper, Chief of Transit, Lori out in Jersey. I mean, everybody is sobbing. Gene, my driver. It's tough, man. I mean, it's a celebratory day, obviously, and Passover is coming up, but I want to say my parents were married, I don't know, close to 65 years, you know. So, got to be weird waking up on a day like this and not having that significant other with you. And that's where she is in her life, so. But I thought it was very nice, and it made me very happy that she said the last couple of years I've given them a lot of nachas. I gave my parents a lot of hell, man. And I have regrets. You know, people will often say, well, you know, I lived my life the way I did, and I don't have any regrets. And there are some things that I've done along the way that people would think I should be regretful for that I'm not. And when it comes to this job, I certainly know what I'm doing. And I'm at the point now, too, where somebody criticizes me or wants to tell me how to change stuff. I get angry. Like Trump, you know. Don't tell us what to do. I know what the hell I'm doing. When I arrived here 8 years ago, I can show you messages on boards and stuff all over the country that said he'll be gone in a year. And 8 years later, I've taken this business over. I know what I'm doing. I do. But there's a lot of stuff in my personal life that I would change if I could. I do have remorse. But my mom and dad always stuck with me, man. And certainly my wife, Danielle. I mean, this June 25th will be 33 years. But they always stuck with me. I want to go to Israel. Obviously, last night, if you just woke up, you don't know it, but the world does. Israel struck back after Iran attacked Israel on Saturday. Not much of an attack. In fact, very minimal. Very small response, if you ask me. They did not go after civilians, which I'm happy about. No nuclear plants. It was just one military base. And now Iran is saying this morning, if you believe them, that, hey, we're good. That's it. We're done. We're not going to keep coming back at you. We'll see. But Judah Honickman, my dear friend from Jerusalem, who I was talking to quite a bit, even when he was in a bomb shelter on Saturday night, he's the man that put together the trip to Israel for this show back in January. He's calling in this morning. Judah, good morning. Good Shabbos. Good Pesach. How are you?
Good morning, Sid. Good morning. First off, happy birthday.
Thank you.
Amazing, amazing. Major accomplishment. You made it to here. You've been through a lot in life, and you made it this far. You're going to make it to 120, please God. Oh. And you said before, your mom said how much nachas you gave her. You give all the Jewish people nachas, man. Standing up and doing what you do and using your voice for the good of all of us. Amazing.
Well, I will tell you this. I played our friend who made burgers and continues to make burgers with you at those great barbecues that you and Aaron put together for our IDF soldiers. And she was there flipping the burgers that night. Zimra, I played her during the open today. I love that girl. But look, the truth is I don't get to Israel despite John and Margo and Chad and their enthusiasm. And they were great. They backed me for the whole trip. I don't get there without you and obviously Scott at One Israel Fund. So you're the reason why I really got there. And I'm going to tell you this, and I've said it time and time again. I'm not exaggerating. It was the greatest week of my life, and I can't wait to go back. I'll be back for October 7th, obviously, to commemorate 1 year, if not before. But I will never be able to repay you for putting that trip together. So thank you.
Well, it was my pleasure. And again, like I said to you when you were here, Sid, you know, we did it for you. We did it for the show, but again, we did it for Jewish people so that people can hear and see the pride and the things that you do and the things that you talk about and amplify the message. You know, we all, at least I know you and I, we have a lot of conversations. We often feel the same way about a lot of different topics, but you have a way to amplify it and really maximize the impact of the message that we want to carry. And that's the reason we made that happen, so you could take that message, take that experience, and be a voice for the Jews and amplify that in a real and meaningful way.
Well, look, you saw what happened last night. You and I both wanted Israel to retaliate after what the Iranians did, with the United States' help, mind you. I still maintain that, on Saturday night. So we got retaliation. People were texting me last night. Hey, Sid, you got your early birthday present. Israel hit them back. You know, again, not much. Actually kind of lame, but they did something. Now, do you believe now that all sides are going to be okay, that Israel did what they had to do, that Iran will not look to further this? United States, of course, is pulling all the strings anyway. Did you want to see more, or are you okay?
Look, I think that if nothing more happens on either side, then it's clear and evident that the United States is pulling the strings, because there is no other reason why Iran would just, oh, game over, we're done, unless there was somebody else. Call it Biden's, call it someone in that White House pulling the strings. Otherwise, you know, Iran does, you know, Israel had to attack back so that we're not the weak one on the block, and Iran has to do the same, or you would think they have to do the same, unless their strings are being pulled by someone else. But interestingly enough, Sid, I think I messaged this to you earlier. Do you know who else has a birthday today?
Ayatollah Khomeini.
There you go.
Son of a gun.
So we have you. We have you on one side spreading the light and him on one side spreading the darkness.
There it is, right. Israel versus Iran, me versus the Ayatollah, yes. So on the way out, because I got Rudy Giuliani calling in to wish a happy birthday too, is it business as usual for you guys? Shabbat is coming up in about an hour, and then you've got Pesach on Monday. Are the folks in Jerusalem where you live, everybody out there shopping and having a good time getting ready for the big holidays?
Business as usual for us, Sid. You know, the holiday, the family, the things that we have to do come before anything else. And, you know, there's so many amazing stories about people in the Holocaust and other very dangerous situations throughout Jewish history that did whatever they had to do to upkeep the traditions of Pesach and Sabbath as best they could. And, you know, with everything going on in the world, it seems like such a big, crazy deal, but we still have our heads high. We're still going. We're still doing. And we are going to celebrate Passover, and please God, be reunited with the Third Temple, and all be together soon.
Judah, I love you. Have a good Shabbos, a happy holiday. Thank you for calling in. Thank you, buddy. Let me run on over to the greatest mayor in the history of this city. In fact, I call him the greatest mayor of any city in the history of our country. Also does a great job. 3 p.m. every weekday on this station. I was on his terrific show just a couple of days ago. My dear friend, Rudy Giuliani. Rudy, good morning, buddy. How are you?
Happy birthday to Sid, not happy birthday to the other guy.
and I have to imagine, I mean, I guess those days when the Ayatollah was doing his thing and Carter was president, were you already at that point a prosecutor in the big office or no?
Yeah, I was. I just had come out of the I worked in the Ford administration. So we were displaced by Carter. Another one of these situations where you'd sit there and saying, what the heck did we elect this guy for? Wow. I mean, he's the key to it, right? You deal with that situation back then decisively, right? Like they dealt with the Lindbergh kidnapping. It doesn't happen again.
Yeah.
Doesn't happen again. You go in there and you take out a substantial part of their resources, of which there were not very many in those days. It wasn't the Iran of today. It would have been a five-day invasion.
So let me ask you, so are you actually being critical right now of Ronald Reagan?
No, I'm being critical of Carter.
I know, but Reagan.
They let him go the day that Carter came in.
No, I know, but right, I know. Reagan got the hostages back, but Reagan didn't go into Iran and try to annihilate them.
I would say we didn't have big problems with them for those 4 or 5 years. If I were there, would I have done it? Sure. Yeah, I'd have taken him out, figuring that I'd get some wussy to replace me, and the guy's got to go. I mean, the guy's like Hitler. We should have taken Hitler out in the 30s, right?
Right.
We should have taken this guy out. The best time to take him out is when he had the hostages. Once he gives up the hostages, it's a little hard to go in there and have a war with him. And I'm not sure if Reagan ever got the right provocation for it. But should he have been thinking about it? Yeah, I think he was. I think he was thinking about it. I mean, you can't do everything.
He certainly did plenty. Well, listen, I'm glad you called in for a couple of seconds. I've got one of your good friends, the president's daughter-in-law, Lara Trump, on hold right now. I got to get to her. I got like five more guests today.
All right?
I will.
My best. But eventually, we're going to have to take out the Ayatollah or this world doesn't become peaceful. He's the key to the – if there's one key to it, it's right there sitting in Iran.
Agreed.
Yep.
I agree, Rudy. I love you. Thank you so much, my man. That's, of course, the great mayor, Rudy Giuliani, comes your way at 3 o'clock. We're going to get to Lara Trump, Donald Trump's daughter-in-law, who's great to me, I must say, momentarily.
This is Sid and Friends in the Morning.
Entertaining and informative.
Oh, you're my best friend.
77 WABC.
Nick Kershaw, Wouldn't It Be Good, Frankie Kravitz, Kimberly Kravitz, my cousin Mike Robbins, the head of the DEA, Paul DiGiacomo, love him, Mark Oranger, Lydia Serrani, our old friend here, Joe Nunes, Siggy Flicker, all checking in on this birthday Friday. So my friend the president is going to be back in court in about 40 minutes. And man, do I feel bad for Donald, man. They're killing him. They are just killing him. It's too cold in there. The judge is a complete asshole. And it's unfair. I mean, this is the whole trial is nonsense. And if you don't believe me, just ask his daughter-in-law, Lara Trump. I mean, Lara, is it complete nonsense or not?
Oh, it's a complete nonsense. First of all, let me just say, I thought I was calling in on your birthday, Sid, as a special guest. And then I call in and they go, we have so many people calling in. You're going to have to hold on because everyone wants to wish Sid a happy birthday. Yeah. No, truly, happy birthday.
You
and I spoke the other day and I said, I think it would be great if I could actually do the show on your birthday.
You so did.
I could wish you a very special one.
Thank you.
I think it's going great for you because everyone loves you and everyone wants to call and wish you the happiest birthday because, my friend, you truly deserve it.
Well, thank you. Thank you. And you've been, you know, you've been really great to me, Lara. I go over the last year and people in my life that have really become close to me and people that I admire. And you're one of those people. I mean, certainly your father-in-law is running for president, but that has nothing to do with you. And I've said this to you many, many times. You are incredibly bright. You're passionate. You're driven. Eric is a great guy. Your husband, your kids are beautiful. You are the epitome of a great American. So it works out well that you're Donald's daughter-in-law. Don't get me wrong. And we get to talk about your father-in-law. But on your own merits, you are a spectacular person.
Thank you. That's so nice. But yeah, listen, what you just referenced in the beginning, this clown show of a show trial, and that's exactly what it is, Sid. This has absolutely nothing to do with righting some wrong, with rectifying things for the people in the city of New York. That's not what this is about. This is the most outrageous, potentially, of all of them, because here you have to force the former president of the United States and the current nominee for the Republicans to sit in a courtroom for weeks on end. They want the show. They want all the hoopla. They want the photos of Donald Trump sitting in a courtroom. They want to keep him from the campaign trail. They want to potentially say, oh, you can't go to see your son graduate from high school. It's insanity. And over what? That's what you really have to ask yourself. What is this whole trial about? What is this whole show about? And they know, by the way, he can't get a fair trial in the city of New York. Are you kidding? Fair and impartial? Not for Donald J. Trump. No way. This is about someone writing in an accounting ledger, legal services, when they say, whoa, you should have written it as something else. The statute of limitations, of course, expired on that. So Alvin Bragg, who was happy to demote felonies to misdemeanors whenever you have real offenses out there in the city of New York, said, you know what, we'll raise this one from a misdemeanor to a felony special for Donald Trump, because we got to do anything we can to get this guy
It is totally outrageous. Everyone can see what this is about. And the funny thing to me, though, is every time they try to drag him through hell like this, his poll numbers go up and the support that is shown for him around the country seems to increase. These people do not get it. They don't understand what they're dealing with here. This is not a typical politician. I know my father-in-law hates the term politician. This is a person who I believe was chosen for this time in America. I don't think any other person would still be standing, would still be fighting, would still be moving forward in his fight to save this country, but for Donald Trump. It is the only way we are going to save this country, and I think he knows it, and I think the people of this country feel it. So try though they might to stop him, to slander him, to do everything they can to injure him as a candidate for president. His poll numbers are going to continue to go up. And by the way, we've raised tons of money every single day that he has been sitting in that courtroom in New York City.
Stop right there. I know you've been on hold for a little bit. Just 2 minutes more, I promise. Raising tons of money. That's very, very important. I'm glad you brought that up, Lara. Give me 2 seconds. We're going to come right back to you with these two very important points that Lara Trump just made, that very few people talk about, the money being raised and the fight. Keep it right here. More with Lara Trump coming right back at you.
This is Sid and Friends in the Morning.
77 WABC.
1, 2, 3, 4.
One of my favorite Bruce Springsteen songs ever off of the Born in the USA album, Bobby Jean. Let me get back to my friend Lara Trump. Lara, you and Michael Whatley took over the RNC. Couldn't come at a better time. And no disrespect to Rana, but it was a disaster. So you guys have had your work cut out for you the first couple of months. And you just talked about raising money. Every time your father-in-law is in court, every time something happens, you raise more money. That's a big deal.
It's a big deal because, look, you've seen what they have on the Democrat side. They have the big George Soros-type donors who are keeping Joe Biden afloat. Shocking that that guy is actually going to make a run for president of the United States. Again, shocking he's even the president right now, Joe Biden, especially when he talks about crazy stuff like his uncle being eaten by cannibals and all the nonsense out there. Wow, the fact that that's the guy. Yeah. I mean, it's really something. But yeah, look, we need money to run a successful presidential campaign. We need money for advertising. We need money for boots on the ground. We also said are very focused on two things. We want to get out the vote, which we know who does that better than anyone. It's Donald Trump himself. He will inspire people to go to the polls. We also have to protect that vote. And we have a massive first of its kind election integrity program right now at the RNC. We are training poll workers across this country. We need lawyers in every voting precinct across America because we can never see what happened in 2020 ever happen again. And all of these things do require money. DonaldJTrump.com, GOP.com, if anyone wants to contribute. But on average, we're raising around $1 million every day that they're holding Donald Trump in this crazy court situation. And I think it speaks to the fact, especially when you look at the fact the average donation is $26 per donation, that the people of this country, even in this horrific economy that Joe Biden has created, are supporting Donald Trump. They're saying, we want you back in office because we all know how much better life was with Trump in office. And I think we all understand and can feel the importance of this election right now. So people are coming out and supporting, and it is incredibly meaningful. We really appreciate it.
On the way out, DonaldJTrump.com. And was the other one GOP.com, Lara? What was the other
one? GOP.com.
There you go. So,
yep, and they both go by, let me just say, they divert to WinRed, which is our fundraising website. Don't be dissuaded when you see that pop up. you're in the exact right spot. Go ahead, Sid.
All right, Win Red. Okay, got it. So on the way out, I have to tell you that, you know, they got the 12 jurors now. They'll select the alternates today, and then thank God your father-in-law gets Saturday and Sunday off. I hope he goes play golf and not campaigns all weekend.
Then he'll be in North Carolina campaigning and fundraising on Saturday. I'll be with him, yes.
Oh, of course you're going to be with him. That's your home state. You're in North Carolina. You're a Tar Heel girl.
That's right.
But I tell you, I'm proud of him because the judge is making life very, very difficult. They said now he's broken the gag rule 7 times. Complete nonsense. He's got to go through another hearing now on Tuesday just for the gag nonsense. And I have to tell you this, too. The fact that he's going to different places in New York, going to Harlem, for example, Tuesday after court. Now, I'm aware of other things he's going to do here in the near future. So he is going to continue to do stuff like this because he thinks, and I believe him, he can win New York. So I got to give him credit. I think he's handled himself very, very well in court, despite the judge. And what he's doing outside the court in New York, Lara, is nothing short of political genius.
Yeah, it's exactly what you would expect from someone like Donald Trump. Again, he is not a career politician. He's a guy who's common sense, and I think that's what people in this country are looking for. And when you go to Harlem as a Republican nominee for president and you get the kind of welcome that Donald Trump got, when you go to a Chick-fil-A in Atlanta and get the kind of welcome that Donald Trump got, you know that something is going on in this country. You know that people are waking up and they're viewing things a lot differently than they ever have before. We have an incredibly unique opportunity right now in 2024 to expand this party, expand our tent. We want to welcome everyone in. The best messenger for that is Donald Trump himself. So, Sid, you're exactly right. You saw him go to the bodega, or Bogada, as Joe Biden likes to say, in Harlem this past week. There will be a lot more coming up. And I can tell you something, nothing would make my father-in-law more excited and something he talks about all the time than a rally at Madison Square Garden. Stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen. We're working on big stuff, and we are expanding this tent. I'm going to make a prediction right now. Come November 6th of this year, after this election is over and people can actually look at the numbers, I believe that Donald Trump will win big with these specific voting blocks that the Democrats have thought forever they have a stranglehold over, because, again, it's common sense. People in this country get it. They're waking up, and they know who the candidate is who speaks common sense and has an actual plan to give this country back to we the people. It's Donald J. Trump.
God, he is a great messenger, but Larry, you are not far behind. You're right there, 18,000 strong at the home of the Knicks and Rangers who start the playoffs tomorrow, Madison Square Garden. And selfishly, I need him in my neighborhood one day this summer at Floyd Bennett Field. We're having a huge issue with the illegals, the migrants, and I think it'll be great if my man President Trump shows up there too. But either way, thank you very, very much for stopping by on my birthday. You know how much you and your family means to me, so you really made it very extra special. Thank you so much.
You are the greatest. Have a happy, happy birthday, my friend. We'll see you very soon.
Thank you. I'm the greatest. Look who's talking. That's President Trump's daughter-in-law and right now the co-chair at the RNC, the great Lara Trump. We got a full hour to go. We're going to talk to Joe Tacopina, Frank Catania live in studio. Keep it right here. We roll on. Hour number 4 coming at you.
Entertaining and informative. This is Sid and Friends in the Morning.
77 WABC. Friends. We'll be in your show plenty because you have a great show and you have big ratings, Sid. I don't even know if you know how good your show is, okay? But you have big ratings and you have a great show and you've been my friend for a long time and I appreciate it.
Continues to play some of Sid Rosenberg's favorites, like this one, Journey Only the Young. That was my friend President Donald Trump on this show about a month ago. He just spoke outside the courtroom or inside the courtroom, wherever he is, right before day four of his hush money trial. I want to send a shout out to my buddy Sean Cerrone. He owns my gym, which is a very happy place for me. I need that place. Burn Fitness. Right there in Rockaway on 105 Lou. That is a great gym. He's a great American. American flags everywhere. And he never listened to talk radio, Sean Cerrone, ever. He just sent me this. Happy birthday to the best radio host in the country. Hope you get all your wishes and have an amazing birthday weekend. You deserve it. Thank you, Sean. Messages coming in. You know, I screwed over Tacopina. And what's funny is, for years, I was one that reminded him about our birthdays. I never forgot Joe Tacopina, April the 14th, because he shares a birthday with Pete Rose. Plus, Tacopina is like my brother. I love him. But Sunday came and went, and I did not text him. I don't know what I was doing. I have no excuse. So he's calling me now from abroad, not abroad like a woman, like a different place. Tacopina, I apologize, but you know I love you, and I brought up your birthday literally 2 days before.
You did. You did. And you've never missed one in the 46 whatever years we've known each other. So I'll give you a pass on one, brother.
Well, thank
That's
you.
Okay. You know, the problem was you normally are the one who reminds me that it's my birthday. So I mean, I don't really get into the pomp and circumstance of a birthday. My birthdays anyway. So.
You know what's true? I usually don't.
I knew you would have forget Pete Rose's birthday. So
Pete Rose. I usually don't either. Especially, it was just like, I mean, Danielle does. She does a great job. My wife does. But I got to tell you, the listeners, Joseph, on this show, they go nuts. They start Facebooking, Instagramming, messaging me 4 days before they get into it. So I got to blame the listeners. They got me all pumped up about my birthday again, like I'm a little kid.
Yeah, well, listen, that's your persona now, Sid. You know, you have this incredible follow. It's called, like, follow. I told you, a former Westchester detective.
Oh, you got to hold on here a second. Hold on, Joe. Hold on. Hold on. For a birthday cake. I got Sophia Perez. I've got Noam Layden, Justin Alec, my beautiful Margot Katz, Matides, Gina Bino, Kevin Drosch, and Lou Ruffino. Thank you. And the cake says who? Thank you. Thank you, everybody. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Thank you, Margot. I love you. Thank you so much. Thank
you.
All right.
Yeah, there you go.
Thank you so much, Margot. Thank you, Sophie. Thank you. That is beautiful. Look at that. Thank you so much, Margot and Gina and Sophia and the whole crew. Wow, that was nice. So you see what I'm trying to tell you, Joe? Now it goes from the listeners get excited to my own company bringing me a cake. And it says who on the cake. How about that?
You have trademarked phrase for life now. Happy birthday, brother.
Thank you, Joe. Thank you. Thank you. Got about five minutes.
You got a fire extinguisher, though, in the place, right? Did they put all the candles on there?
I had trouble blowing them out. I'm not going to be honest. I'm getting old. I think I'm dying. I got 5 minutes. I want to get to the serious stuff. So Trump is back in court today, and you represented Donald Trump on a couple of things, and you did a great job. I tell Trump that. I go, my man Tacopina, especially with E. Jean Carroll, he saved the day. But this judge is every bit as bad as, and you won't say it, but I will, Kaplan. And Engoron, this guy Mershon has been a disaster. Nothing fair about this guy. What are you seeing from your place?
Look, he's obviously very, very hard on Trump. I mean, no question about that. I don't think we have to pretend he likes him. But he's trying. He's a smart guy, okay? And I think he's trying to cover himself and cover the record. Yesterday, there was a woman there who basically had some past. First of all, the fact that he gave them, and I mean them, the defense and the prosecution, access to the social media, profiles of these people, gave them the names, even though they're not public, these names. The lawyers were given the names. So that's an amazing tool, because then you go on their social media and you see this one juror who said things like, he's a misogynist, he's a racist, he's a this, that. This was 5 years ago, whatever. 6 years ago, and that was used to get her off the jury. Now, the judge was good, even though she said, look, it was a political sort of statement I made at the time. Electoral politics can get spicy. I would still be fair and impartial. Despite that, the judge knocked her off the jury without having the defense use one of their challenges. So he's trying to give a fair shake. Look, he's not. Two things happened here different than my case with Judge Kaplan. One, he gave the defense the names of the jurors so they could do this. I don't know how many jurors on my case had posted he's a racist, misogynist, whatever else, right? In their social media posts, because we didn't know who they were. We didn't have their names, which is really, I think, the best issue for appeal for President Trump's first E. Jean Carroll trial. I think that's the best issue for appeal, because it's malpractice in New York if you don't do a background check on the jurors' social media profiles. It could be a basis for ineffective assistance of counsel. But yet, we weren't able to do that. At least Mershon here gave them that ability. The second thing Mershon did was the Access Hollywood tape is just an ugly thing, right? Judge Kaplan let them play that tape 6 times during my trial, okay? Aye. That had nothing to do with E. Jean Carroll, but they played it 6 times because it does what it's supposed to do, right? It gives you that chilling effect. I saw the jurors' faces when they heard that. Well, this judge, at least to his credit, again, is not letting them play that tape. He said, you could read the words, but you're not playing the tape. It's too prejudicial. So if he wanted to just stick it to them, just purely stick it to him, he wouldn't have done that.
Okay.
He wouldn't have done that. But okay. I'm not saying this is a friend of President Trump's. He's not, probably one of the worst draws for President Trump in that building, but that's who he's got. And at the end of the day, you still need 12 jurors to come together and agree that there was a crime committed, not only a misdemeanor, but a misdemeanor that's cobbled onto a felony because it was covering up another crime. That's a big – there's a lot of here between here and there, Sid.
Agreed. Now, about 2 minutes to go. Great job there, Joe. Really great job explaining everything. By the way, nice message here from Carol McGurk, the beautiful wife of my former partner and great friend, Bernie McGurk, wishing me a happy birthday. Thank you, Carol. Next week's a very busy week for Trump, because if you assume today they'll get the rest of the alternates and the jury will be done, we'll start opening arguments on Monday. Tuesday, he's got another hearing for what they're saying is he actually went against the gag order 7 times. And then Thursday in Georgia, you've got that presidential immunity hearing with the Supreme Court. So you got Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, 3 different, hearings or 2 of the same case. That's a busy week for Trump, yes?
Yes. Then there's that little thing called the campaign.
Right.
That he's trying to run for president in the middle of all this, which would normally take up 20 hours a day, right? So it is how this is going to be juggled is really – this will be a trick. It really will be a trick. And look, if the desired effect was to bog him down, weigh him down in court proceedings and legal battles so we couldn't get out there and do his thing, well, it's working. And I know some people believe that. Some people say, look, he caused his own – legal problems, and now he's got to you know, deal with them. But the bottom line is, it is nearly impossible to do all the things.
But hold on, you say it's working. You say it's working, but I'm going to tell you something. Because I just had his daughter-in-law on, Lara Trump, and she co-chairs the RNC, and she claims that every day he's in court, they raise another $1 million. And his poll numbers are not going down.
I don't doubt that.
Yep.
I don't doubt. No. I meant it's working from a time standpoint, from basically pulling him in too many different directions at once, where he can't campaign. Look, look, yes, I'm sure people are enraged by these cases who support him, will donate money. Poll numbers don't get affected by it, which is really, I mean, this, I got to tell you, even for the supporters, Sid, right? That's shocking. That is shocking that the poll numbers, you know, normally a president gets accused of any wrongdoing. It's almost game, set, and match for the president, right? But here he's indicted 4 times. And that's only strengthened his sort of standing. So that's, you know, we're in a different era right now. We're in a different world. And I think people really, truly believe, you know, that this is weaponization of the justice system to prevent a political opponent from doing well. This is not the direction we want to go in as a country. Even if President Trump is back in office, we don't want to now start going the other way with that, because, then democracy is gone. At that point, and then it's just a matter of almost a totalitarianism state, and we cannot deal with that, Sid. So, you know, it's a bad message that's going out right now. But it's not affecting his polling, it's not affecting his fundraising. So at the end of the day, there's no one knows that better than him, right? That's why he uses every court appearance as sort of a campaign stop, so to speak, after court when he stops and speaks to the press. He's campaigning.
It's been genius. It really has. Well, listen, you and I have been friends for 47 years. 47 since being little boys in my dad's car and your dad, God rest his soul, Cosmo's car, too. And you've been so important to me over the years. You actually represented me a couple of times, but I mean on a serious note, as a friend and someone I can turn to as a brother. So I'm really glad you got a chance to call in today. The Trump stuff is great, but more importantly, Joe Tacopini, and how much I love you. So thank you for calling in today, and we'll do this again a couple of times next week. Thank you so much.
I feel the same about you, Sid. Love you. Happy birthday, brother.
Thank you, Joseph. You too. Joseph just celebrated his birthday, of course, last Sunday, the 14th. I come today on the 19th. We'll take a short break. When we get back, he is one of the stars of the Real Housewives of New Jersey, but he's got his new place opening up tomorrow in New Jersey. What is that all about? You're about to find out from my buddy Frank Catania. Keep it right here.
Is Sid and Friends in the morning.
77 WABC.
Favorite songs ever, Dolores, the Cranberries, 9:32 on your Friday morning.
messages keep coming. My sister Ray Sherry tells me we've got a new huge fan in Boca Raton. His name is Mark Anesh. So thank you to Mark for listening. Eileen Jimenez. Who else here? Susan Spivak. Kevin Breslin's wife, Lizzie. She cried when my mom called. Of course she did. Kevin Canessa, old-time friend of mine. My friend Jeffrey. You know Jeffrey. So, again, like I said earlier today, just so you know, if you're on my Instagram, at rosenberg.sydney, if you're on my Facebook, Sid Rosenberg, if you're texting me, I read everyone. I can't get back to everyone. First of all, not during the radio show. This radio show, I know I make it look easy, because I'm not good, but it ain't easy. So to even answer one text, let alone 100 or 1,000, ain't easy. But in terms of the social media stuff, I read everyone. If I don't send you back a message, don't be offended. I appreciate it. I love you. Thank you. But I just can't answer everyone. So it's like a second job. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, because you've been looking at it for the whole show.
And I still look at you, and I still interview the guests, and I'm still doing all this, and it just becomes very, very.
But I've been telling you since this morning, you don't have to answer these people that.
You sound like Danielle.
Really
be
know.
Quiet. Tell me what I have to do.
Well, I'm just trying to help you.
Yeah.
You
know? Everybody is going to tell me how to remain or get popular. What am I going to treat these people like they're garbage?
No. Just do what you just did.
You're asking me to treat these people like they're garbage,
no,
like
no,
they just
no,
don't matter.
No. No.
Well, that's a feeling I'm getting.
Well, no, that's not what I'm saying. I'm just
no,
saying,
what am I saying?
Well, maybe Justin can answer all the people for you. You know, go through all the birthday
that's
wishes
what he
and
should
respond.
Do. You know, by the way, Gary Delabate used to take Howard Stern's clothes to the cleaner.
No, all right. Knew the cleaning story was coming next.
You know what? Noam, I actually hear them calling you down the hall.
Right.
they need you for something. I don't know, maybe to report the news.
This is Sid and Friends in the Morning.
But you say he's just a friend.
Boy, you're my best friend.
77 WABC.
Boy.
Christopher Cross, another one of my favorites, Ride Like the Wind. Lou Ruffino doing a phenomenal job today. 9:43 on my birthday Friday. A couple more shout-outs, people that are checking in. You remember Lisa Bonk, Lewis?
Yes, very nice, Lisa.
Yes, she checks in. Luke Lograno, you guys remember Luke Lograno?
Ah, Lukey.
Joe Piscopo, happy birthday, brother. I love you. Nicole Miliotakis, of course, a famous congresswoman. So the messages keep coming. So I decided this last segment today, I was going to give it to my friend Frank Catania. Now, I've known Frank for many years. He was, and still is, no matter how much he's on or not on, one of the stars of the Real Housewives of New Jersey. But Frank is one of the nicest guys you'll ever meet. And Frank doesn't really get caught up in all that nasty drama. And he's got something else going on in his life. He's got a few things going on in his life that are actually really exciting that have nothing to do with calling somebody else's wife a slut, which is really good. He's got a beautiful girlfriend, Brittany, and they're going to get married soon. And he's got a couple of stores opening up tomorrow. And his friend Anthony, who I know for many years, is here too. How are you, Anthony?
I'm doing very well. Thank you for having us.
Good to see you. So, Frank, before we get to the exciting stuff about the stores you and Anthony are opening up tomorrow in New Jersey, big day tomorrow. You picked a great day, by the way, Hitler's birthday. But
Sorry. Real Housewives, I think, starts May 5th. Is that right?
That's correct. Sid, yeah. Thanks for having us on such a special day. I'm driving in and I'm listening to you. And you invited me in on your birthday.
I did.
And I got to be honest with you, I'm honored.
Oh, you are?
I'm
thank
honored,
you.
Man. Happy thank birthday
you.
To you.
Well, you got a long drive in from Jersey. Did you hear my mother?
Yes. Oh, my God.
Tough, right, man?
Yes.
Because I know you see your father in Tampa every now and then.
Yeah, exactly. But no, thank God your mom's still here. And the fact that you guys share a birthday, come on.
That's pretty cool.
Have a good day.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I don't know if you felt that way for about 30 years, but now she's certainly happy. So thank you for that. And you are here on a very special day. And it's also Shabbos. We're getting ready for Pesach, and the Israelis are at war. So much going on, but your show comes back. I know that there were some difficulties last year. You were delayed in going back to work. Some of the nastiness, I don't have to explain it. People know what it is, but you finally got the season done. I don't think you and Brittany have a huge role this year. Your ex-wife Dolores probably does, but it all comes back on May 5th, right?
It does. All right. We premiere this year on May 5th. And Brittany and I have taken a little bit of a step back. We try not to get so involved in the toxic scenes, but there's many scenes this year which are just good. Good for the family. And it's a little bit of contrast to the screaming and yelling all the time by the women. You know, so our scenes are always good, good and happy.
Oh, that's good to hear. Right. How are Frankie and Gabby doing?
Sid, thank you for asking. They're great. Yeah. I've been blessed.
You got great kids.
You know, I got to knock on wood.
You got great kids. Great kids. Your kids are pretty good, too, man. I'm not leaving them there. Trust me. Okay. So, season starts May 5th. Will this be the last one, I guess, then for you, maybe?
Sid, I thought the last three seasons was the last season for me. You know, and now that Dolores has a new boyfriend, right. You know, I'm the ex-husband.
I know, but people like you. People like you a lot more than the boyfriend. I got to be honest with you. I'm going to be honest. I mean, they do. People still love you. They're like, hey, we love Frank Catania. We love him.
Sid, I just try to be a good guy.
You are a good guy.
What you see on TV is what you see.
Yeah,
that's me.
That's you. Yeah.
That's me.
Yeah.
Anthony will tell you. Anthony's been by my side for 35 years.
You guys have been best friends for that long already?
Yes,
35 years?
Yes, we have.
Well, you guys are in business together, and you're going to open up two brand new stores tomorrow. Now, I got to tell you, my wife, Danielle, she was in on this early. She wanted to do the contracts for the places in New York. Those guys get a ton of money just to open up one of these dispensary shops. As you guys know, as it turns out, the firm she worked at did not take advantage of it. Their loss, and maybe Danielle's loss too. But you guys have, and now you've got your own places opening up tomorrow. Tell me about those.
We've had soft openings, and tomorrow, just what better day than 420.
Right.
Exactly. To have two grand openings.
Well, that's not an accident, obviously, right?
Well, no. It fell on a Saturday, so let's capitalize on it. All right? It's the biggest day in the cannabis space by far. So we have two stores tomorrow. One opening in Route 22 in Union at 1 o'clock. And then we have another one in Somerset, Franklin Township, Somerset County, right down by Rutgers. That's opening up at 420.
So you got two at 420. Right? You guys are really taking advantage of the day. So you got two stores opening.
Two stores that we oversee. Two stores that we've helped them get opening. So now we've come to the culmination of many, many years.
So I don't know what it looks like in Jersey because it's kind of more spread out. Like New York City, for example. We've got smoke shops, like four on every block, but they're illegal, too. They're not legal. This is completely different. Your stuff is legal. You're licensed. And if I walk into either one of your dispensary stores, what could I purchase?
You can purchase basically anything. Anything with cannabis or anything with a combination of cannabis and CBD, Sid. And there's so many benefits these days to the THC.
Yeah.
All right. And we have an entirely older crowd now coming in. They can't sleep. They have pain. They don't want to feel high, but they want to feel good. There's so many different feelings, so many different benefits of cannabis.
I'm in recovery, obviously, so I don't drink and do drugs. But I couldn't sleep, and I was taking this melatonin. And it wasn't working. So somebody had this brilliant idea, try these gummies, you know. So I would take the gummy before I'd go to sleep, and then I'd fall asleep, you know. And then I'm 57 years old. I got to pee like three times in the night.
It happens all the time.
Yeah. So I get up, and I'm starting to walk towards the bathroom, and I literally hit every wall along the way. I must have been high as a kite. I didn't realize it. I woke up the next morning. I got bruises everywhere. I go, what's the problem? I go, I'm getting so old. And she goes, you took the gummies before you went to bed. You were probably high. And I did. I hit every wall on the way to the bathroom.
Did you at least sleep good? You slept good, though?
I slept great.
You're damn right you did.
You should just be happy you didn't pee yourself.
Listen, we get to our age. That's a big accomplishment.
It is. No question. Well, how old are you now?
Please, this is, I hate to say it, this is the big year. I'm turning big 6-0.
You're going to be 60?
Yes.
You look great, man. I got to be honest.
I feel great.
You actually look bigger than you've ever looked.
I've lost weight. I've trimmed down.
Face, your arms, you haven't.
Thank you. As I said, before I came in here with you, you know, in the back room.
Yeah.
I'm pumping up. I'm doing push-ups. I'm like, damn, Sid looks good. Sid looks good. Let me get some pump.
My arm is a quarter the size of your arm. Your arm is like a football player's leg. So you got the two stores opening up tomorrow.
Correct.
You've got May 5th. You've got the new season of The Housewives of New Jersey.
Correct.
And now you're engaged to Brittany.
Correct.
You guys are getting married next fall, right?
That's correct.
You'll have a rabbi. It'll be a Jewish wedding.
We're going to make it all. Make it all. I want to cover all the bases.
You know? And who's going to be the best man, Anthony or Joe Beninga?
Anthony's in the wedding. Joe Beninga will be there. But I'm glad to say my best man is my son.
Oh, Frankie, it's got to be,
exactly,
of course.
Right?
You can't pick a better guy than Frankie.
For sure.
Right? But are you going to have a bunch of ushers like Joel and Joel?
No, honestly, I have Anthony, who's always by my side.
Right.
And I have Dolores' ex-boyfriend, David.
Oh, is he going to be an usher?
He's going to be.
He needs to be something. You live with the guy for the last 10 years.
and obviously, Brittany's brother. Yes.
Oh, right. Brittany's brother.
For sure.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's my boss, Chad Lopez. He says he can kick your ass, by the way. Take a look
I'm
at
sure
him.
I'm sure he can. All right. These are for show. There's a big difference.
And you know what? Well, seriousness, he actually served in the Navy.
Which I got to be honest.
You couldn't do it?
Hats off to them. Absolutely.
Big arms and all, as big as you are. No one's got bigger balls than these guys, right?
Listen, to have bigger balls than me, I got to down. So it really doesn't take much. All right? Just listen to Joe Gorg on the show.
I guess that's why your arms are that big. You got to sacrifice something, right? So you got to give, you got to take, right?
Listen, they were big enough to give me a son and a daughter. I'm good.
And two great-looking kids at that.
Thank you.
So I expect that this season, you know, your show last year was actually nominated for the best what is it called? The reality show on TV?
Yes.
Did you go out to L.A. for that?
No. I don't get invited to those things.
You don't get invited?
No. I'm there just for the good times.
Do you get along with Andy Cohen?
Andy's always been nothing but great to me.
Yeah.
Nothing but
respect. Probably afraid of you, obviously.
You know, no. Yeah. Andy's never.
You could pick up Andy and throw him 15 blocks.
That's right.
Did you go to Vegas for BravoCon?
Yes, we did.
Oh, you did?
And I have an incredible time at BravoCon.
You did?
I have an incredible time at BravoCon every year, even when it was in New York.
Yeah.
I absolutely love hanging out with the fans.
Oh, they love you, the fans. You know? Does Brittany get jealous?
Not at all. Yeah. Not at all.
Because the ladies, you're like Tom Jones. Yeah,
it's interesting, to say the least. It's flattering. Very flattering.
All right. So when somebody walks into the dispensary, that's what it's called, the dispensary in Union and in Franklin.
Yep.
And they walk in tomorrow.
Yep.
And they said, hey, Frank, I've always loved you. But I heard you with Sid yesterday, and I really like that. Do they get 10% off or
absolutely,
something?
100%. You come in, you mention Sid's name, all right? That's an additional 10% off.
Is that true?
That's what we'll do.
What if I walk in? How much do I get?
You know we don't charge you. 5%. There you go.
Well, this is exciting. You have
we're going to have, I'm telling you, we have a entire spectrum of guests coming tomorrow together with
like who? Give me some of the names.
Many. First of all, we have rappers coming, we have DJs, we have Real Housewives. Melissa, Joe are supposed to show up.
Oh, they are.
Margaret and Joe.
Wow.
Obviously, Paulie and Dolores and Brittany. So, and they support me. They always support me. They're always there for me anytime there's an endeavor, and I'll do the same for them.
That's a big deal. No, that's
I'll do the same for them.
That's a big deal to get all them out there.
You're
absolutely.
Invited too, Sid.
Huh?
You're invited too.
I need you there for the ribbon cutting.
Oh, that'll be fun.
Right?
You get to cut the ribbon. So yes. Does any politicians get involved in this? Because it is a ribbon cutting deal that is the weed. Will be anybody there that works in politics?
The entire stigma of the cannabis, as people would say, is going away now.
It is going away.
So the mayor will be there to help cut the ribbon.
The mayor will be there.
Yeah, absolutely. The mayor will be there. The senator for that district is incredible. All right.
Wow.
Has helped along the way. And Union and Franklin have been nothing but accommodating to us.
Well, you have to get their support to get this done anyway.
100. So. You can't just put a dispensary anywhere.
Right.
You have to get a resolution from the town.
What does Jack Citarelli feel about it?
I don't know, Jack.
You don't know Jack?
Jack, I do know. We know Jack. We've obviously we know Jack. We've been in the same company with him. And I got to tell you something. You seen Jack lately?
He's a good-looking guy.
No,
good
not
shape.
Only that, but he's ripped now,
I know,
too.
He's ripped. Right? He's like RFK Jr. I don't know what these guys are taking.
Oh,
but, you know, he's good friends with Jack Manzo, who's not related to Tommy Manzo.
No, not at all. I think we know Jack Manzo.
You know Jack, too.
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
Everybody hangs out at the Brownstone, I guess, right?
Correct.
That's still a big deal, right?
Sure it is. Sure it is. always.
So for folks who want to get more information on these two stores tomorrow, how do they do that, Frank?
All right. The stores are called, the brand is The Dispensary. You can't get much more simple than that. And the two opening tomorrow are the Dispensary of Union in Union, and obviously the Dispensary of Somerset in Franklin Township.
Okay. Well, you think it'll open more along the way if these do well?
Let me put it this way. We are helping many, many people, all right, to open up, and we'd like to see people achieve their dreams.
That's a great job. Well, we'll do this. We'll take a quick break, Lewis. We'll come back. I'll give my final goodbyes on this birthday. I want to thank Frank Catania. That was an excellent job. Anthony, you too, folks. Check out the Dispensary opening tomorrow in Franklin and Union in New Jersey, and, you know, go smoke a joint on us. I'll be back in a couple minutes to wrap things up.
Entertaining and informative.
This is Sid and Friends in the Morning.
77 WABC.
Well, had to end at some point this show. Liz Pipko checks in. We love Lizzie. Happy birthday to my favorite radio host and the greatest radio host of all time. My friend Gene Stevens checking in. Joe Carone, Anthony's brother. We love Joe Carone. Great guy. And again, all you folks on social media, thank you so much. Louie got a cake from Ciro's in my neighborhood. I know that. I knew right away it was from Ciro's. And thank you very much, Lou, for the cake, for MJ's fudge, for the cute card and the cute tissues and the music today. You, Lou Ruffino, made this a very special birthday. Thank you so much. I love you. Thank you.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. Justin, you too. Justin Ellick, you're the best. You're the best producer in the business. And Noam, I told Ben Meverack again, nobody better in the news today than the great Noam Layton.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome. We are done, folks. If you're in Rockaway tonight, maybe I'll see you at the Swanky Rockaway Hotel. If not, we'll all be back, God willing, as Gene would say, with a Monday morning 6 a.m. Sid and Friends in the Morning show. Until then, from all of us on Sid and Friends in the Morning, thank you so much, all of you out there. Thank you so much for making my birthday special. Peace!
This is Greg Kelly for Priority Gold. What does it mean to be America's precious metals dealer? It means that you're in touch with the hearts and minds of those who love this country, value our freedom, and want to protect the future. Priority Gold is that precious metals dealer. They've helped thousands of Americans back their retirement with solid gold and silver. Call Priority Gold at 888-506-6439. Receive free shipping, free storage, a free investment guide, and one of the best purchase experiences in the industry. Call now or go to PriorityGold.com.